much about.
You got to put it in the perspective.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're going to call Afghanistan to see if it's true if the women really shower naked. Boop, 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 boop. Bring, bring. Baka, baka, baka. Yes, this is Kevin and Bean from America. Is it true that your women shower naked? Baka, baka. Sorry, do you speak English? Kevin, let me try. Do you speak English? Baka, baka, baka. Click.
This show sucks.
Almost hard to believe we're in third place.
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
Screechy and annoying.
And now...
Screw you guys. I hate you. I hate you all. Die, die, die. Go to hell.
Our feature presentation.
Well, that's not much of a review. That's not a good way to start the day. Come on.
That doesn't make me want to come in so early.
Doesn't feel like...
love?
Doesn't feel like... Yeah, exactly. It doesn't feel... I don't feel love. That's for sure. Hey, party people. Welcome in. It is Thursday. It is the 10th of March of Obama, and it is another brand new Kevin and Bean show. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good, Bean.
What are you wearing?
Clothes.
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah, I know.
Have an enormous program today, and we'll get right to it. But first, remember 2 days ago at this time, I was telling you about the crazy story about the guy on a small plane who spent most of the trip between islands in the Caribbean figuring out a way to get past the panels in the airplane restroom so that he could get into the cargo hold and steal $240,000.
Yes.
And we were impressed with how creative that is and how that's the type of thing you only ever see in the movies. And I can't believe stuff like that happens in real life. Well, here's another story that sounds like it comes out of a movie. And I can't believe stuff like this actually goes on in real life. This is the sort of thing that I thought Hollywood just made up. But Albuquerque, New Mexico is where it happened, where a woman was kidnapped. She owed $80 to a guy. The guy found her, kidnapped her, threw her in the back of the car, and took her to an undisclosed location. Then he gets her out. She says, I don't have the $80. I can't get you the $80. I don't have it. I'm sorry. He does what? Like they do in the movies? He chops off her pinky.
No. For $80?
For 80 bucks, he chops off her little finger. Now, it doesn't give me, as usual, enough detail in the article to say whether he then mailed that pinky like they do.
He must have, right?
Or if they just called someone in the woman's life and said, hey, I just cut off her pinky and I'm going to cut off another finger next if I don't get my money. But apparently she was able to find someone who could come up with the 80 bucks and get it to the guy, and the woman was returned pinkyless. I mean, am I right that that sounds like something that would only happen in a film?
Well, maybe what we're doing is just imitating films now.
That's what I was wondering,
too. Imitating life, and now life imitating art. That's
so funny. Exactly, because you do see stories all the time with people who do crazy things, and they go, well, I got the idea from watching it on TV, or I knew how to do that. I mean, sometimes it works for good. Sometimes somebody, you know, does CPR that has never done it before because they've seen it on Law & Order, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not always a bad thing that you imitate. But I didn't know that people were chopping off fingers for past due money at this point. Now, the other part of the story that I do love, and I don't see this in the movies usually, and I have to applaud the guy who chopped off her fingers, after he threw her in the trunk, took her to the undisclosed location, and before he chopped out the finger, he did require her to get naked. And
oh, I think, nice.
I don't know how that was important to the process. I don't know why you make her get naked and then chop off her pinky.
But you know why you got her there.
Yeah. Oh, sure. While she's there anyway, what the heck? So anyway, the guy has been caught, by the way, and is on $25,000 bond right now.
Yeah.
But crazy stuff going on.
I would think, you know, for 80 bucks, just the tip.
Yeah.
Beer mug, I so am going to need that piece of tape. I so am going to need that piece of tape.
Done.
She's not talking about a figure. All right. I need to tell you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I pity the fool who would do that.
No, it's going to be worth it, Mr. T, because there is a new Bean's Death Corner coming up in less than an hour right here on the Kevin and Bean show. Also, Tom Brady, quarterback for the New England Patriots, who, by the way, is fairly girly to play in the NFL anyway, now has really pushed it. He's wearing a ponytail. Now, his hair is barely long enough for a ponytail. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish with it, but it's not doing him any favors. The office was fairly split on whether any guy can wear a ponytail. We discussed it briefly yesterday, but we are going to get more into the rules of men with ponytails. I think it's a big zero all the time. Lisa, you think there are exceptions. You think there are some times where a ponytail works for a dude.
I do, and so does Alex.
So you guys are wrong.
I mean, who are you going to... Yeah, but those are guys and we're girls. I think you have to go with us on this one.
Well, maybe so. I mean, look, Tom Brady got Gisele Bündchen, so clearly he knows how to do something right.
Right.
I don't know what's going on there. But it is not a good look. We will discuss. Also, as you know, April Foolishness, it's happening April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California. Tickets are going on sale for street team members, and that can be you if you sign up. It takes seconds to sign up at kevinandbean.com to be a street team member. Then you get the pre-sale password, and you get a chance to buy the tickets at 10 o'clock today before they go on sale to the public. Great lineup again this year, and we couldn't be more excited to welcome our friend Jay Moore back to the stage, and he joins us in studio later on today as well. Also, we're going to be talking to the writer of a very controversial article where she has broken it down. I think she's turned on her sisters because she has written an article called Why You're Not Married, and this is maybe a wake-up call for some ladies who are reading the article. So we're going to talk to her and find out what the problems are that maybe are in some ladies' lives that prevent them from getting married, which they so desperately want. And the concerned citizens for crustaceans are in the news. We'll tell you about all of that and Ralph with the Showbiz Beat right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I'm glad I'm not watching Glee anymore, so I didn't have to see what they did to that song on last week's episode. Neon Trees on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 5:49. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Hey, I forgot to mention, by the way, coming up right after the top of the hour.
What?
We're going to play back something that happened late in the show yesterday. Oh. Ralph was playing a prank on me, went into the other room, dialed up, managed to get past the phone screener, told the phone screener that he was Gary Busey. And then we put him on the radio, and I interviewed him as if he were really Gary Busey.
I was in the room interviewing Mr. Busey with you. How did I do an impression from the other room and also be in the room?
I was actually here and I saw him.
Lisa saw me. Were my lips moving. I must have been a ventriloquist.
That's how good you are. That's how talented your voice skills are. I couldn't figure out how you were on the phone playing Gary Busey and also in studio pretending to interview Gary Busey.
It was the Buse. Abuse the Buse. That's what I say. It's like, don't hassle the Hoff.
If you missed it, you can make up your own mind. We'll have that tape for you coming up just after the top of the hour. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
There's no mind to make up. It was Gary Busey.
If you want to see what a guy sounds like who does a pretty good Gary Busey impression, then you don't want to leave the Kevin and Bean Show right now. That's my point. All right, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman. And, I understand, something free here, too.
Free? Better than free. Sure, you don't have to pay for it, so that's the free part. But there's like instant savings here. There's extra value because you get to go to a red carpet world premiere of a major motion picture. How often does that happen in your life, huh, people? How often?
So if they don't buy from us, we both lose?
That's right. We stock them deep and sell them cheap here. It is red carpet world premiere passes to a movie called The Lincoln Lawyer starring Matthew McConaughey. Happens at the ArcLight Theater in Hollywood, California tonight. It's in theaters everywhere March on the 18th if you don't get through. But right now, I'll take the first three callers at 1-800-520-1067. First three callers will be attending a red carpet world premiere tonight. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Best of luck. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Charlie Sheen.
Guilty.
I am tired of saying that name, I'll tell you that much. But you can't help it. He's in the news every day. Now, apparently, he is endorsing the rumor that super dreamy actor Rob Lowe may be his replacement on 2.5 Men.
Oh, so he approves of this more than he did the John Stamos rumor.
Well, here's why he's saying he does. Because he claims he has what they call in the show business world a Michael J. Fox clause in his contract. Mm-hmm. Now, Michael J. Fox, when he was on Spin City, became seriously afflicted with Parkinson's that he had been struggling with. It made him, he felt, no longer capable to star in that TV series. So he stepped aside. But in his contract, because he was one of the executive producers of the show, he continued to get paid as long as that show continued to be on the air and make money.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie is claiming he has the same deal in his contract. So he says regarding Rob Lowe, I hope he does it and kicks ass because I still get paid. So he is making an allusion there to the fact that if the show continues, he will continue to collect a paycheck. CBS and Warner Brothers have a different opinion.
bet.
About his employment status regarding that show. He also said about Rob Lowe, he's a buddy of mine. He's a beautiful man, a brilliant actor. I hope he does it. So we'll have to wait and see. I think he would be a good choice, actually, if they were going to recast.
I would hate to see him leave Parks and Recreation, though, because he's so funny on that show.
Yeah, but it, you can be funny on a show where you're part of an ensemble. You can be the star of a hit sitcom. I think Rob Lowe would be hard-pressed to make that decision because that would be a pretty high-profile move for him if he was the star of his own show.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You got something to go for there. And the show, I think, would improve because you would actually believe that this guy is getting all the tale that he talks about getting on that show. The Charlie Sheen aspect of it was always a little bit of a stretch for me. It's like, really? That burnt-out corpse of a dude is scoring with all these ladies? But with Rob Lowe, you're like, yeah, of course he is. Look at him, for God's sakes.
And the comedy is that Rob Lowe, in real life, is, you know, long-time married with kids, living in Santa Barbara, being as private as can be. He's the opposite of a Lothario.
He is super settled, so we'll see what happens. Charlie
Beerbug Lothario is a guy that runs around with a lot of chicks. Just helping out here. Just translating for the new guy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beerbug thought Lothario was a character in Romeo and Juliet.
Right. I saw the blank look on his face. That's why I wanted to jump in.
Charlie also offered a half apology to John Cryer, who he slammed recently for not contacting him during his troubles. Apparently, Charlie was a little put out by John's appearance on Ellen. You remember when he Ellen was walking down the hallway and turns out that John Cryer's her new personal assistant because, as he said, he needed the work. He felt it was a slam on him personally. Charlie took it personal and said it wasn't funny. So that's why he was upset.
Wow. But he's in the wrong business if he gets offended by something as innocuous as that.
Speaking of getting offended, this morning's My Heart Goes Out To story is about 38-year-old Tara Myers. Now, Tara, by all accounts, was an excellent science teacher. She was working in the Parkway North High School in Missouri, 38 years old, and she had to resign this week when one of her teenage students found out that in the 90s, she used to work as a porn actress by the name of Ricky Anderson. She was outed by one of her students and had to resign her position because parents and the people who worked for the school district were not happy with her previous life.
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
Yeah, well, that's you, Lisa. But this woman.
And it was 15 years ago, right?
The 90s. Doesn't say exactly what year it was, but it was obviously
some time ago. That's ridiculous that she would lose her job over something that has no impact whatsoever on her teaching abilities today.
This isn't the first time, by the way. She was also outed in her former school in Kentucky and moved to Missouri, started teaching there, and now has had to resign, decided not to fight. And she's on administrative leave while she's looking to find another job. So,
what is it they think is going to happen? That she's going to get up in front of the kids and teach them how to do porn?
I can't imagine. But it's just, in a world where we need as many good teachers as we can get, and apparently she was a good one, it's sad that the fact that she did something, by the way, that's completely legal.
Right.
Back when she was young and still finding her way in the world, she is being penalized for that choice, and I feel bad for Tara Myers.
But I'm sure what they're thinking is that by letting her teach, they're telling kids that what she did was okay and encouraging them to do the same, which is not true.
No, it's a huge
stretch. I'm sure
that's
their point of view.
Yeah. Apparently, she only made 8 movies back in the 90s when she was trying to make a buck. If you're looking for her work as Ricky Anderson, by the way, you can check her out in Double Your Pleasure, Double Your Fun. Inside L.A., Major Slut, and In Through the Outdoor 7. You can check that out.
Yeah, I dropped off on that series after like 5. Yeah. I didn't even think they were still making them anymore.
Apparently
that,
she breathed new life into In Through the Outdoor. So,
by the way, they should be delighted if they're so uptight and angry about women who choose adult entertainment for a living. They should be excited that she left it all behind and now is a teacher.
Yes.
They're practically forcing her back into porn by making her unemployable now.
Isn't it a cautionary tale if she can tell her young female students, look, I made huge mistakes as a young woman. I went down the wrong path, but then I got my S together,
right,
and I chose a profession to be a teacher.
Yeah, and I think beyond that, I doubt it would ever come up. I doubt it's the type of thing that she would ever bring up at the school anyway.
However,
you know, it's a non-factor.
On the other side of the coin, playing devil's advocate, if you are a parent of a teenage boy, are you concerned that his preoccupation with what's in his pants would be a distraction if he knew that his science teacher was a porn star? Could she have the same impact? Could she garner the same respect that a teacher needs to have to keep a classroom under control? Could she have all of that with this information being out there?
I don't care about that because don't take away her right to be a good teacher if she wants to be a good teacher based on whether somebody else is uncomfortable.
But if you're the parent of a teenage boy, are you concerned that maybe his education is being compromised because his preoccupation is on the wrong thing when he goes to science?
Well, no. If he's a teenage boy and she's at all attractive, it wouldn't even matter if there were movies. His education is being compromised.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
I know. I'm just bringing up the other side.
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
All right, Lisa, we get it. Okay. Someone give Lisa $80.
I will.
So we can be done with it already. I always think it's interesting to hear what celebrities use as fake names when they check into hotels.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long list. Bieber recently said, who the hell did he say that he was, he used somebody's name?
Yeah, I don't remember, but it was just funny, yeah.
Some classic rock star or something like that. Anyway, Kim Kardashian told the New York Post when she checks into hotels, she checks in under the name Princess Jasmine. Well, that's the way to keep a low profile, Kim Kardashian. Apparently she dressed up as the character from Aladdin 2 years ago and just likes that name. Lindsay Lohan, on the other hand, likes to check in under the name Bella Lovelace. Once again, could not be more attention-getting. This
no
may
kidding.
Be a reference to the role she was supposed to play, Linda Lovelace, in the biopic about the former porn star, but she was passed over by producers, so perhaps she's still holding on to that a little bit.
Ralph, I looked it up for you. Justin Bieber was checking in under the name of Chandler Bing.
Oh, that's right, from Friends. Chandler Bing, that was it. And Snooki says she's done being Snooki.
I'm done with her being Snooki. That's great.
No, not just the limelight. She says she wants to be called by her real name again, Nicole. So don't call me Snooki.
We've got Snooki.
It's Nicole, if you're nasty. Nicole Polizzi is her real name, and she said she's tired of Snooki. She wants to be Nicole again. By the way, Bean, you'll be happy to know she's also really excited about her new spinoff that MTV is giving her with J-Well. Snooki and J-Well on their own show. She's getting a spin-off. So.
What? Yeah. Why?
Because we can't get enough Snooki.
I'm a whore. Hello?
Yeah. Big list of celebrity birthdays today. Let's go through them, shall we? Chuck Norris, 71 years old today. Chuck Norris doesn't have birthdays. Birthdays have Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
He's 71 years old today. Actress Shannon Tweed, also known as Gene Simmons' better half. She's 54 years old today. She looks pretty good for 54. I got to give her that. Actress Sharon Stone turns 53 years old today. Another attractive older woman. Were you here, Beam, when we did our older woman attractive phone-in topic?
Yes.
Or
were
you on
yes,
vacation?
Oh, okay. I was. Yeah, I was working for them.
I think both of those two ladies would actually
absolutely
fall into that category. Rick Rubin, legendary musical producer, is 48 years old today. Timbaland turns 39. Jerry Horton, guitarist for Papa Roach, is 36. Singer Robin Thicke is 34. Carrie Underwood celebrates her 28th birthday. By the way, did you catch American Idol last night, Bean?
I sure did.
What a talented batch of kids, huh?
I agree. I mean, after the next couple of weeks, it's going to be tough to start cutting people.
Because usually you watch that show and you go, oh, okay, oh, sucks.
Right.
How did these people get into the top 12 or 13 in this case? But last night I was like, wow, good. Nobody was less than just good, I thought. Which is rare on that show.
And I'm impressed, considering how few of these contestants have any kind of performing experience, I'm impressed with how good they are on stage, how comfortable they are, and how professional they seem. I mean, it really is an unbelievably talented group of kids.
I'm impressed how tight Pia Toscano makes my pants. That's what I'm impressed by.
I don't know how she got into that dress, I'll tell you that.
Oh, Pia Toscano.
I know you love her.
Last week, I was working with Kevin, I was trying to come up with a new catchphrase, because as you know, I invented McFever.
That's
I had the McFever before anybody else had the McFever when Catherine McPhee was on the show.
So what can you do with Pia?
I've been trying. I can't think of it. I guess I pee in my pants. No, that doesn't work.
No, that's no good.
Toscano. Oh, my God. She's so hot. I tried that one. It was a little long. Didn't trip off the tongue. So I'm still in the lab. Still in the lab working on the catchphrase for Pia, but she has my support.
Well, we know you're on 13th floor with the Kevin Bean Science team if we need you.
That's right. Olivia Wilde's 27 years old today. And John Hamm. Oh, John Hamm.
He almost gets a bell. He's so good looking.
He also makes my pants tight. I don't know why, because I just love him so much. Mad Men's John Hamm is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Are we on? Beer mug, are we on?
Yep.
Well, you're doing something very wrong then. It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. It is 6:09. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. All right. Yesterday in the program, we got a phone call from somebody who claimed to be Gary Busey. Gary Busey, Oscar-nominated actor, full-time crazy man. He's on this season of Celebrity Apprentice. Here's a little of Gary from that show.
What could your team have done better?
What we could have done better was everything we did on the day of the task.
What does that mean?
That means we did better.
Okay, well, I have no idea what that means, but I'm going with it.
I don't know.
That's the kind of logic you get when you're dealing with the great Gary Busey. So we were actually doing something else on the air. We were getting into this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. So at the start of this tape, you'll hear us playing the little jingle, the little song that we play that gets us into Internet Roundup. About 10 seconds in, Ralph Garman burst in, immediately makes us stop the show because Gary Busey is on the phone. If you missed it, check this out. Tell us what you think.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and
cut the intro. Cut the intro.
What? What? What's going on?
What?
What's happening?
I am breaking in with breaking news.
Yes.
We'll do the internet roundup another time.
Ooh. Okay, that's fine. What's going on, Ralph?
Because right now we have to talk to the legendary Gary Busey.
Yes.
Gary Busey's on the phone.
No way.
Gary's on the phone.
Awesome.
Celebrity Apprentice's Gary Busey joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is huge. Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning. First and foremost, I'd like to say how big of a fan I have been for years, and I'm so glad to finally be on the Soylent Green Show.
It's Kevin and Bean, but that's okay. We'll take it.
Gary, have you heard us talking about you this week, talking about how we heard that you'd phoned in earlier in the week and how upset we were that they didn't put you immediately on the air?
Well, I truly understand. I am Gary Busey. The phone has stopped ringing as much as it used to, but I have been hearing little birds here and there.
It's absolutely 100% true, and my only fear now is that if you don't win Celebrity Apprentice, there'll be no reason to watch it because I'm out once you're not on that show anymore. You're the best thing going on that program.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell them. Sometimes they'll listen, but sometimes Donald Trump doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
How active are you these days? How much work are you doing? Are you doing much acting anymore?
I act every day. Every day, if I can find out a character, I'll get out there on the streets and I'll act around town and entertain the people. But what it is that I've got alien DNA and monkey blood. What that basically means is I can throw my own excrement and then vaporize it.
See, why doesn't this guy have a show?
He needs his own damn show.
They tried to do a show with me with Andy Dick and a couple other people, but It was a little tough for this native Texan to walk around with a fella named Andy Dick.
Yeah. Well, I understand, yeah. So does it, you're flying your freak flag proudly, though, Gary. I mean, you are crazy. You admit that, and you love it. It seems like you're having the time of your life with the way you live your life.
I am 106% Gary Busey. All the time, 24/7. That's what I pride myself on doing. And there's been people out there, imitators. There's been fakers. There's been bellyachers. But I'll tell you what, Gary Busey gets up every morning, one leg at a time, just like everybody else.
That's right. When you see a guy like Charlie Sheen, who gets momentary fame from going off the rails a little bit, is it kind of insulting to you that he's biting your act?
I'm the original Charlie Sheen.
That's true.
What few people know is that I taught Charlie Sheen everything he knows.
Gary, why did you decide you wanted to do Celebrity Apprentice this season?
I'll be honest. They said the phone wasn't ringing so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And I thought a chance to work with Michael Jackson was going to be a great opportunity.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What a disappointment.
Ended up being LaToya.
Why is that?
Because it ended up being LaToya, not Michael.
They've been calling him by his African name, LaToya, but I know Michael when I say that.
No, it's his sister, actually, Gary.
Now, I know that there's some things you can't reveal because those episodes haven't aired yet, but who did you find yourself getting close to? Who did you really like on the cast that you enjoyed spending time with?
That beautiful, fine, young, delicate lady, David Cassidy, was really nice. But ever since he's been off the show, Jose Canseco wants to spoon every night.
Yeah.
Well, he's a big guy. You got to do what he says.
Well, you get lost in those big blue eyes.
Sure. Ralph, is there any fear in your mind that this isn't Gary Busey, that this may be some guy doing an incredible Gary Busey impression?
There wasn't until now.
I'm just wondering, you're the real Oscar-nominated Gary Busey, the actor, right?
I'll tell you, back in 1944, when the Holy Spirit reached into my mother and named me William Gary Busey, there's only been one time that that's happened. And I dropped the William, and it's history ever since.
What would you like to do next, now that your profile has been raised yet again with Celebrity Apprentice? Is there any particular job you'd like to have, Gary, that if you could pick your job in Hollywood right now, what would you be doing?
Well, it was real nice working with that Patrick Swayze character and Keanu Reeves. I'd like to do another Point Break. Hoo-yah!
I think we'd all be down for that.
I think so, too. Utah, give me two.
I want it to be Gary, Ralph, but I'm just telling you, I have my doubts.
Really?
I do have my doubts on whether or not it's Gary or not.
Well, if it's not, he's an excellent impersonator.
He's a fantastic Gary Busey, I will tell you that. And I love him so much, I want it to be true.
You're afraid he sounds a little too rational?
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that, yeah. He's the funniest guy we've had on our show in a month. That's my concern. You know what I mean?
I do.
It sounds like a pro.
Hey,
Gary, how...
Guys, a little something.
Yes, please do.
You know, your shadow, I'll say this to Charlie Sheen. Your shadow, the dark side, C.G. Hume writes about it. In terms of the fact that every one of us has a dark side. And my dark side, my shadow, my lower companion, is now in the back room blowing up balloons for kids at parties.
All right, now I'm in. It's Gary Busey.
Now I'm in.
Gary, you got to come in and spend some time with us in studio. We would love so much if you would do that so we could explore more of the mind that is Gary Busey. Do you think your schedule might permit that in the next few weeks?
The next few weeks, like I said, who can reveal what's going to happen on Celebrity Apprentice? Lose is not in my vocabulary. I am a winner. I've always been a winner. And Donald Trump, the first time I met him, he had this beautiful orange aura glowing, floating above his head. And I knew right then that I was going to be a winner.
Well, that certainly answers my question.
Well, when it's all over, we'll have you on and we'll talk all about it, Gary.
All right. There's a few times that I could be around the station. I've got a laundromat that I frequent quite often, right in your area.
All right. Well, I hope that's true. If it's you, it's an absolute thrill to talk to you on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm so glad you called again, and let's keep in touch. All right, buddy?
Thank you very much, Kevin and Bean.
All right. Thank you, Gary Busey. If you're waking up this morning thinking, I got to hear some Local H, that one's for you on 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. It is 6:25. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Today at 10 a.m. is when tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness, April 2nd at the Universal Amphitheater. Jay Moore is on the bill. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life, and he's going to be joining us in studio later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
One thing you know about me, Ralph, is I do love the death.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
And the listeners know that. And here's the certainly the most emailed story of the last week or so to me, and that is the spokesperson for the Heart Attack Grill. You're familiar with the Heart Attack Grill? I think we may have actually talked to somebody from there when it opened a couple of years ago out there in Phoenix.
It's a fast food place that prides itself on its enormously high caloric content and stuff, yeah, right?
That's right. They serve French fries cooked in lard. They've got, like 44-ounce milkshakes. Their big item, the item that people go for mostly, is the quadruple bypass burger.
Ah,
it has
yes.
8,000 calories.
Well, there you go.
4 half-pound beef patties, 8 slices of American cheese, a whole tomato and half an onion served in a bun coated with lard. That's their big item there.
That sounds so good. Don't they have nurses serving the meals or something?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yes, they do. And the reason the Heart Attack Grill from Phoenix is in the news is because Blair River, the 29-year-old spokesperson for the Heart Attack Grill, has passed away. Now,
what?
Who could have ever seen that happen? Blair was only 575 pounds
at nothing.
29. He was a creative genius, according to the founder, by the way, of the Heart Attack Grill. He had been planning to take part in the shooting of a promotional movie called Heart Attack Grill, the musical. But unfortunately, 6'8", 575-pound Blair River is not going to be able to make that. Remarkably, he did not die from a heart attack, though.
See?
Says here that he died from contracting pneumonia after a bout with the flu.
See, he's had nothing to do with his being overweight. That's what I'm trying to say.
So the 575 pounds, that didn't play
no,
at all.
But,
no, lots
eight,
of young people who get pneumonia
six, eight,
die.
He could carry it. He probably looked good.
Speaking of meat, I know I just got Lisa May's attention. The Heart Attack Girl is not the only meat in today's Beans Death Corner. Here's a man, according to our friends in Fresno, at the Fresno Bee. Kings County deputies are investigating the death of a 72-year-old worker who fell into a meat grinding machine.
Oh, no.
That has got to be pretty high on the list of ways you don't want to go. And by the way, if you're 72 and you're working in a meat factory, you've planned poorly in your life, right?
Oh, it sounds like Soylent Green.
It does.
They take the old people and turn them into food.
This was Monday morning at 4:45 a.m. Leopoldo Gutierrez of Hanford, California, fell into a meat grinding machine, 72 years old. Oh. That is a bad way to go.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Right there. When your legs get ground up as you go down to the meat grinder.
I'm afraid so, yeah. Here's a 21-year-old named Andrew Buscol, who is in Woodbury, Minnesota. Now, his story is significant for a couple of reasons. One is, he is one of these kids that you hear about who gets a heart transplant. He's going to die as a tiny, tiny little kid unless he gets another heart. But thank God, God saw to spare him and found a way to get a new heart into that boy so that he could grow up and become the next Albert Einstein. Or he could grow up and become the next serial killer. He has been arrested because he loved the show Dexter so much that he decided that he was going to be like Dexter.
No.
21 years old. He decides, I want to be like Dexter. So he puts together himself a murder kit. He's got a swimming cap, latex gloves, knives, a scalpel, and he starts looking around for people that he thinks have done bad, people who have committed crimes and avoided punishments. So he decides he's going to kill those people, just like on the Dexter TV show. Again, a kid whose life was spared because he was able to get a heart transplant as an infant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can't find anybody that fits that criteria, so he decides, I'm just going to start killing people randomly.
Well, you got to settle sometimes.
He picks somebody out of the phone book. He starts stalking them. When he is finally arrested, he said his plan was to stab the man to death and then cut out his heart and his eyelids.
Oh, dear.
That's why my number's unlisted. That will never happen to me.
Somebody take Showtime away from this kid, right?
I'm afraid Kevin might fall into that category at some point.
He's a pretty huge fan of the Dexter show, yeah. So I think the message is clear, don't give any little kids heart transplants, first of all.
No, because, that's not our message.
Because every time you say they could grow up and be Mother Teresa, please remember they could also grow up and be this kid, Andrew Buscol from Woodbury, Minnesota, who wants to be Dexter, all right?
Well, it's not his fault, because maybe the heart that he got was from a killer.
Oh, he transferred the evil right into his body?
Yes, it's not his fault. It's the other kid that was a rat bastard.
Well, at least this kid was captured before he actually killed anybody, and that makes him a rarity on Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
K-Rock World Tour 2011, destination number 7. System of a Down in Berlin, Germany. We'll keep giving away tickets to see him at the Forum, and then you're on the standby boarding list to win the big thing, the whole enchilada. And thanks again to John and Shavo from System for stopping by yesterday. If you missed the interview, you can hear it at krock.com. It is 6:40. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Raph has the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes. Also, the author of a piece called Why You Are Not Married next hour, and What's Up with Tom Brady and His Ponytail. We just put a post up at kevinandbean.com if you want to check it out. The quarterback for the Patriots trying to pull off a ponytail. I don't think he can pull it off. I don't think anyone can pull it off. But we'll discuss coming up the next half hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. All right, here's a controversy, Lisa. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but it's going on in Long Beach, California. There is a group called the Concerned Citizens for Crustaceans.
Mm, okay.
There aren't usually a lot of people out there, you know, speaking up for the crabs and speaking up for the lobsters, but this group is one of them. They are protesting a game called the Lobster Zone, which is a game that's like one of those games you see, you know, you go to Denny's or something like that. You use a mechanical claw to try to pick up a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you're actually trying to pick up a lobster out of a tank. And they're saying that lobsters are smart enough that that is a scary game to them, that they will not enjoy that. That should not be allowed. And they have managed to get it removed from most of the bars in the Long Beach area. There is still one, though, called the Wardlow Station that continues to keep the game called the Lobster Zone. So we wanted to find out how serious a problem this is. We asked producer Alex to line somebody up, and Mike Haber joins us on the phone with the Concerned Citizens for Crustaceans here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Michael, welcome to The Kevin and Bean Program. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, people?
Well, we're doing fine, Mr. Haber.
Oh,
we have
I'm
it.
So glad.
We have this right. The Concerned Citizens for Crustaceans sounds like something we would make up as a wacky radio bit, but it's a real group?
That's right. The Triple C. We're real. It's important to us to take care of all kinds of crustaceans. We're concerned about the crabs and the lobsters and the crayfish and other crustaceans that I don't have in front of me here on a list.
I understand, yes. So this lobster zone game, could you explain how is it harmful besides the fact that if a lobster gets caught, it's going to get eaten? Besides that, how is it harmful?
Oh, it's cruel beyond belief. Imagine if you were just swimming in a tank and suddenly a giant mechanical claw came down and started grabbing at you. That'd be horrible.
You would.
We want crabs and lobsters to be happy and content before we take them out and drop them in a pot of boiling water. Eat them.
Okay, that's what's confusing me. I mean, are you also protesting against just fishing in general because it has to be terrifying for a little fish to swallow a hook and all of a sudden have your mouth ripped up?
F fish, I say.
What? I
F
thought
fish.
You don't care about the fish, but the lobsters, yes.
Just crustaceans.
Just
all
crustaceans.
I care about are crustaceans. Since I was a young man, all I've cared about is crustaceans. You know, when I was young, I had crabs. It's true. My girlfriend gave them to me.
Oh, I see. That kind of crabs.
And
I got
kept
you.
Them as pets, and they're just wonderful animals. And
wait,
I just want them to live in peace and quiet before we stick them in drawn butter and eat them.
So do I understand correctly that you combed the little crabs out of your pubic hair and kept them as pets?
No, not those kind of crabs. What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
The big crabs, the ones that are just, they walk sideways and they're endlessly entertaining.
Oh, that's what your girlfriend gave to you.
Shells.
Oh,
they're
I see.
They're called hermit crabs.
Yes, they are.
Fascinating. I have crabs and lobsters as pets. Like this. This is my pet lobster, Lobby. Hi, Lobby. How are you? Ow! 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 Oh, they've got claws. Ow! Oh, it's painful. Ow, Lobby. Stop it. Stop it, Lobby!
Hey, don't hit Lobby. Come on. You don't want to be cruel to a lobster.
All right, I got to go boil some water.
Oh, no.
I think Lobby's done.
Oh, that's terrible.
But at least he didn't get caught with a claw. That's awful.
So that is better. I see what you're saying. All right.
Save the lobsters, S-O-L.
Thank you, Mr. Haber. Foo Fighters on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:53. This is the Kevin Beach Show. Speaking of Foo Fighters, by the way, you know they got that new record coming out, Wasted Daylight. They also announced yesterday that they're going to be doing a special covers EP on vinyl only for Record Store Day coming up in April. It's going to be on white vinyl and limited edition. That is going to be something that is going to be very tough to find, but I'm looking forward to hearing what songs they put on that because they have impeccable taste in covers. All right, Tom Brady in a ponytail coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, a man who has never had a ponytail,
no,
I'm guessing Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
And never will. And don't make me get into pigtails. That's all I'm saying. You should tread lightly when it comes to this conversation.
Pigtails.
Maybe you should recuse yourself from the whole bit, actually.
Pigtails are incredibly manly. There's no dispute over pigtails because if you can rock the pigtails, either you're American Indian or you're me, and that you win. But the ponytail looks good on no man.
All right. We were talking about Charlie Sheen and his comments yesterday about Rob Lowe possibly taking over for him, starring in 2.5 Men. Well, that's not going to happen. The executive producer of Parks and Recreation, Michael Schur, shot down that idea, saying that Rob Lowe is under a multi-year contract with Parks and Recreation and won't be leaving the show anytime soon. So fear not, Parks and Recreation fans. Rob Lowe is going to be on board for at least a couple more years and will not be leaving to star in 2.5 Men.
I'm fine with that. I think he's so great on Parks and Recreation.
This information was revealed at the Paley Fest. You know, we love the Paley Fest here on the Kevin Bean Show. They did a Parks and Recreation panel last night, and he said that no worries, Rob's going to stick on that show. However, he did say that Rob will be replacing Scott Kahn on Hawaii 5-0.
Well, that just confuses me now.
Yeah, no worries there. Speaking of Charlie Sheen and all of his rants, we talked yesterday about the witches and the warlocks.
Yeah, they were cheesed off at him, right, for calling himself a warlock.
At least one warlock has been very vocal about it, a warlock named Christian Day. And we found out that a lot of Wiccans, male Wiccans, don't even call themselves warlocks. They call themselves witches. But I got an email here from listener Derek, and I thought this was appropriate. We didn't really cover this, and I think he raises a good point regarding certain sections of the community and how they feel about Charlie Sheen. It says, Ralph, with all the uproar created by the warlocks, feeling they've been viewed in a negative way via Charlie Sheen's rants, we have overlooked something. What about the trolls? Trolls need love, too.
Ooh.
How come no one from the troll community has stepped forward to rally his, her, its fellow trolls to put an end to Sheen's endless degradation of trolldom? Perhaps you could use your voice to call out to trolls everywhere and inspire them to rise up and fight against anti-trollism. And Charlie should stop talking about maggots, too. So there you go. The maggots and the trolls need to be heard from. So maybe we can take some calls from them sometime this week.
So, too. Dude looks like a lady?
No, it wasn't
really. Oh, I thought that's where we were headed with that.
I just thought it was a funny email. He brings up a good point that trolls are being slapped down worse than the warlocks by
Charlie Sheen.
You don't see them bitching about it. You don't see them coming out from under the bridges where they live, bitching and moaning to Charlie Sheen. So maybe they should take a cue. That's what I'm saying.
I can't process it.
Reality show news. Maybe a chance for us to make a little money. Bodog.com has released the latest odds for Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
I'm not going to go through all of them. Chelsea Kane is the favorite. She's going up at 5-1. That's the morning line on who should win Dancing with the Stars.
She's a Disney star?
Disney star, yeah.
Okay.
She is picked as the favorite as of right now. This is before the show even starts, so if you want to get your bets in, these are the, as they say in the racing business, horse racing business, these are the, this is the morning line.
So what are they basing this on, then, if nobody has seen them dance?
Just guessing. That's okay. Why, this is why you put your money on the on now. Because nobody knows anything, so if you're going to make a wager, you might, you know, pick a long shot and cash in. Speaking of long shots, at the bottom of the list, someone named Mike Catherwood. Mike Catherwood is going off at 16-1.
Dead last.
Bet $100, win $1,600 is what I'm saying.
I think so, too.
I'm going to put money down. Let me tell you something about our little boy, Psycho Mike. Granted, he has no dancing experience. He does not dance socially even.
No.
But he has a tremendous work ethic.
Yes.
And he is in tremendous physical condition.
Yes.
Both of those two things, I think, are things that are going to help him in this competition a great deal.
Yes. So put $100 on Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Mm-hmm. Loveline Loverboy.
I'm going to put $100 on Mike in Vegas.
You should.
I'm going to.
But when are you going to Vegas next?
I don't know. Maybe I can get Chief to put it down for me. How does that work? You know, I've never placed bets except for on football in Vegas. What can he go to any casino and put a bet on this, or is it only through Bodog?
I don't believe that the casinos are taking any action on Dancing with the Stars.
You don't think so?
No, I'm pretty sure that's not up in the sports book.
Well, where can I actually bet on it then?
You have to go online to an online betting service. I think that's where you lay your money down.
I'm going to do that. Mike's going to make me some money
for things of this type. What if you put money on him and then he loses? Then we'll all be twice as pissed at him. That's all I'm saying. Kid's got enough pressure as it is. You know,
I put $100 on the Raiders to win the Super Bowl every year because, A, I know that they won't. If I bet on them, they won't win. And that will make me far happier than whatever money I would have made from them actually winning the Super Bowl.
Right. But if they do win, then the extra money will take the sting out of the fact that the Raiders won the Super Bowl for
it. So I can't lose.
You're hedging your bet, as they say.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Chuck Norris is 71 years old today. Shannon Tweed celebrates her 54th birthday. Sharon Stone is 53. Rick Rubin, legendary music producer, is 48 years old today. Timbaland's 39. Jerry Horton, guitarist for Papa Roach, is 36. Singer Robin Thicke turns 34. Carrie Underwood's 28. Olivia Wilde's 27. Actress Emily Osment of the acting Osment family is 19 years old today.
Belle? No Belle. I'm having trouble placing her.
She's attractive.
Okay.
And John Hamm from Mad Men.
Yeah!
He is 40 years old today. A listener, Julie, writes in regarding John's birthday. In honor of John Hamm's birthday today, we should all smoke, act conflicted, and look fantastic.
I like it.
I think it's excellent advice. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7. Hey, they're still playing. Hold on, let me let them finish.
More mandolin.
I don't want to jump on the banjo solo. It's 106.7 KROQ at 7:07. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, less than 3 hours from right now. Tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. It's our third edition of the comedy show, Saturday, April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California. Phenomenal lineup. Top ticket, by the way. Hey, I'm glad producer Alex is in here because we're going to talk about something that involves her in a second.
Good morning.
Refresh my memory again, and for people listening, why is the Fancy Schmancy a great idea?
It's a great idea, one, because it allows us to donate more money to charity. This is a charity comedy event for the Wounded Warrior Project.
Whatever with that. What's in it for for me, the consumer.
What's in it for you is drinking cocktails with Lisa May and Ralph.
Oh, yes. Cool. There you go.
You get an awesome fancy schmancy t-shirt.
Oh,
check.
Okay. Awesome.
You get rock and roll backstage parking. You can park right next to Bill Burr and Jay Moore and try to steal their car after. And you get seats in the pit. You get to be right in front to check out the comedy front row.
Nothing better than moshing to jokes.
So that's the top ticket, and even that is under $100. And then the further you go back in the amphitheater, the less expensive the ticket is. What's the cheap ticket, Alex?
$25.
Oh, what an unbelievable lineup for $25. Yeah.
I heard they're adding a $15 ticket you can watch in the parking lot on a TV.
Ooh.
Jerry Jones came up with that.
That's right. Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy's house band from the TV show Cleetum and the Cleetones are going to be on the bill again this year. They're, again, all these fine people donating their time for the cause. Patton Oswalt, Jay Moore, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, and the Axis of Awesome. It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Go to KevinandBean.com and make sure you are set up for the on sale for street team members at 10 o'clock today. All right? Good luck with that. All right. Alex is here because a video surfaced earlier this week of Tom Brady. Now, Ralph, I know as an Eagles fan, well, as a fan of any team other than the Patriots, nobody likes Tom Brady, right? Because he's a girly man.
That's right.
He's a girly man.
He is so light in the loafers. He floats
even
around the football field.
Even though you can't argue he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He's won, what, two or three Super Bowls. He's been MVP two or three times. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
He's a robot. He's a fembot.
And he's married to freaking Gisele Bündchen, one of the hottest Victoria's Secret models of all time.
Beard.
So there's a post up at KevinAmin.com that I urge you to check out immediately. And there's two strikes against Mr. Brady. One is he's in Carnival with Gisele, and he is dancing. Like, how would you describe him? Not even a robot. He doesn't have as much rhythm as a robot, the way he's dancing to the Carnival music.
He's sort of bouncing up and down like a toddler.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not really dancing.
He's acting as if someone smeared Ben Gay into his jock.
And then the other thing that you can't help but notice when you watch, and he's had some hair trouble over the years. He's had a lot of bad hairstyles in recent years. Now he's sporting a ponytail. And this is what the discussion has been in all around the Kevin and Bean offices for the past couple days, which is ponytail, no way.
No.
Right?
No. No.
I don't think anybody can wear a ponytail.
At least he's got his hair in a scrunchie.
Yeah.
On top of it being a ponytail. So he has compounded insult to injury by putting it in a scrunchie. And what does he need the hair pulled back for? So it doesn't whip in his face while he's doing his lambada dance there at Carnival? Why is his hair so much of a problem that he's got to pull it back into ponytail?
All right, listen.
Is it a fashion choice? Flimsy.
First of all, I have discovered I love Tom Brady. I'll just be quite open with that. I root for the Patriots. However, all men hate Tom Brady because he's beautiful. He's a great quarterback. And
no,
because
he's a big mo. That's why they hate him.
Yeah, but you're also jealous. Like, there's a lot of hate on Tom Brady, which I get. That being said, a scrunchie does nobody any favors, guy or girl. If you're Hillary Clinton or Tom Brady,
so you're objective enough to say the scrunchie is a mistake.
So bad. Now, my issue is, it's not really even a ponytail. It's like this athletic bun that a lot of the hot Euro soccer players do because it's not long enough to be a ponytail, but there's enough there that they want to like get it out of their face.
Yeah, if you're playing soccer, maybe you need your hair out of your face. Right. Why does he need the hair in the scrunchie at Carnival?
Because he's jumping up and down like a toddler. He doesn't want it to get in the way of his hurricane.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
Is he whipping his hair back and forth in the video? Has anyone checked that out? But the ponytail, I mean, we had this discussion off air with Lisa May in studio. Lisa, you believe, and I disagree with you strongly, but then, as you pointed out, I'm not the target audience for guys with ponytails. I don't think the ponytail works for anybody. You say there are exceptions to the no ponytail rule. What are they?
I do, and we talked about it yesterday. Like a hot sculptor with a ponytail, I'm good with that. You know, artists,
how often do you run across the sculptors? I mean, yeah.
Maybe not so much here in the States, but elsewhere.
Look at the real people who wear ponytails. Steven Seagal rocks a ponytail. Look at the losers who wear ponytails. Even guys with real long hair don't do ponytails. Steven Tyler, all right, Aerosmith lead singer, judge on American Idol, has long hair, has rock and roll hair. You never see him put in a ponytail.
The only people that have successfully rocked a ponytail, because I was thinking about it, they're either extraordinarily hot or they're rock stars, like Johnny Depp, David Beckham, Brad Pitt. You've got to be incredibly good looking that it negates anything going on in the back of your head.
But let me stop you right there. David Beckham is a great example, one of the most recognizable faces in the world. He never looks better with a ponytail than he does without.
True.
He looks ridiculous with a ponytail.
I don't know.
Right?
It doesn't bother me. He doesn't look ridiculous.
No,
but given two options, with or without, even someone as beautiful as Beckham or Johnny Depp,
you choose without.
No, I like it just when they can tuck it under their ears, and it's just kind of long. If they're, you know, it's sexy.
But not a ponytail.
The ponytail thing, once it gets like a real size ponytail, not the little Brady tail, as Bean called it earlier, which I thought was awesome. My rule of thumb is your hair cannot be longer than mine. A guy's hair cannot be longer than the girl he's with.
But even if it is, let's say you're a rock star and you have long hair. Let's say you're a
Clay Matthews.
You're a front man for a band or something. If you have long hair, that's fine. That's an option. But you don't put it in a ponytail, right?
It doesn't bother me if you're just like doing errands or working out, you know, whatever.
All right.
Sweet. But it can't be super duper like redneck long. That's bad.
We're going to take some calls on ponytails on men. I am surprised. If you go to KevinBean.com, you'll see the post. You can actually see the video. You can actually see what Tom is calling a ponytail. And you can cast your vote, okay? Right now, here's where the voting's at. Shut up. The Brady tail works for him. Only 10% of people voting. Right. Only 10% of people think he pulls off that ponytail. Some guys can pull it off, but not Tom, is 41% right now.
What?
Yes, thank you.
No ponytails, not now, not ever, is 48%.
There
so right
we go.
Now, that one is in the lead.
You're right.
Now, some of our Facebook comments, if you're on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, ponytail, no. Pigtails, still no. Rat tail, hell yes. That's from Rick. All right. Clearly, he's friends with the King of Mexico, so we have to discount his vote. Here's Christina. Tom Brady's ponytail reminds me of the movie Singles, A Sensitive Ponytail Man.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not good, right?
No.
No, it's not good.
Chandran writes on the Facebook page, Tom Terrific can do whatever he wants. Oh. So she's just willing to give him a pass just because she loves Tom Brady, or maybe she's a Patriots fan. I don't know. Greg writes in, he's a douche, with or without the ponytail. So I think you can see there's a wide range of opinions. So what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067, does the ponytail work for Tom Brady? B, what are your rules for ponytails? Who's allowed to have a ponytail, or is no one allowed to have a ponytail?
That's what we're talking about. One person's allowed to have a ponytail. Only one.
All right.
Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Only Willie Nelson.
Even he has pigtails most of the time.
Willie
he doesn't even do a ponytail.
Willie rocks the tails a lot.
Yeah,
he does
right.
love the
Willie,
pigtails.
Willie gets a pass because he's Willie. Nobody else.
By the way, I hate to muddy the waters here because I think
I'm Muddy Waters has a ponytail?
I'm in complete agreement with Ralph, so I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to give something to the prosecution here against me. But
yes.
Doesn't Jeff Bridges frequently wear a ponytail, Ralph?
Yes.
And he's one of the coolest guys in the world.
How about that? How about the dude?
Jeff Bridges and Willie Nelson. It's a subset of two.
See how this game goes. Yeah. Here we go.
But you know what? As much, you know, I'm a huge Jeff Bridges fan.
The biggest, right.
If I had my druthers and could tell him how to rock his hair, I would opt not to put him in a ponytail.
Okay.
I'll forgive him because I love him, but it's not a good look on anyone, even Jeff Bridges.
1-800-520-1067. We're going to discuss all things ponytail with you right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, while you were out of the room, the girls, the hens, were doing nothing but adding hot guys to their lists of who they think should be allowed to wear a ponytail.
No. Sean Bean from Lord of the Rings.
Slippery slope.
Check and check. So hot.
No, it looked much better, Mortensen. By the way, when he had short hair in Patriot games and he was kicking major ass.
No
guy looks better with a ponytail than he does with a decent haircut.
I disagree.
No, not true.
No guy looks better with a ponytail than he does with a decent haircut. 100%. I co-sign that. We'll go right to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. A couple of quick emails. Brittany writes in, there's absolutely no situation where a ponytail is acceptable. I would never date a guy with a ponytail. They are flat out repulsive.
Yes.
Mark writes in, referencing the Tom Brady story that started this whole thing. You can see the pictures and the video at KevinandBean.com. It looks like he has a scrotum on the back of his head. It looks like head scrotum.
It is. It's head scrotum.
Our friend Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Archive has a question for you, Alex. Oh,
yes.
Tom Brady with his ponytail. He's perfect for you, right? Does he have a fanny pack? That would make him have everything.
That's true. That'd be the perfect combination.
That's an excellent
point. And by the
way,
Sean Bean, by the way, was playing somebody from Middle Earth, okay?
Right.
It was somebody. If you're in a movie where it takes, if you're, you know, part of the round table with King Arthur or something, then yeah, you can wear what kind of hairstyle you want. But Sean Bean doesn't walk around the real world
and
like that.
And how disappointed am I?
No.
Better,
because he's smart.
Way hotter with it.
Let's talk to MJ, line two. We're getting your theories on ponytails. Does it work for Tom Brady, or does it not work for anybody? What say you, MJ? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning. I say nobody. I agree with the boys on this one, sorry. I think that when Tom Brady started growing out his hair, I thought like he was growing it to stay on like a winning streak, or he was, you know, trying to make a joke. Or I mean, he looks terrible.
Right, he does look terrible.
Short hair.
Okay, what about what the girls are saying, which is if the guy is hot enough, if he's Brad Pitt, if he's Dave Grohl, then it's okay to wear a ponytail. What do you think about that?
Well, I happen to love Brad Pitt, and I still love him way better with short hair.
Way better without a ponytail. Yeah. Okay,
it's like Brad Pitt with that goofy beard he was rocking, too. It looks like hell.
Yeah, I don't know. And just because you're hot doesn't mean that you could do anything to yourself and still look hot.
Word, MJ!
Unless you're going for Alex as your target audience, in which case you could cover yourself in feces and she would still think you were hot.
I love Johnny Depp.
The more you F yourself up, the more Alex loves you.
He's the only guy who can rock pirate teeth in a ponytail, and I still do him.
He's dressed ridiculous. He dresses ridiculous. It doesn't make him look hot. I'm sorry.
I agree. He does. He dresses ridiculously. Thank you. Let's try Mercedes, line six, please. Tom Brady with the ponytail. Mercedes, what do you think?
I personally think guys with long hair can rock it. I mean, they can pull it up in a ponytail if they're going to go exercise or maybe, you know, run some errands. But I personally like guys with long hair and ponytails. In my opinion, I like them.
Yes, I'm going to run some errands. I'd better pull my hair back so it doesn't get caught in the shopping cart.
Hairs!
I think it look amazing. I mean, every guy that I've dated has long hair.
Right, long hair is great.
Ponytail, and it looks great.
We're not arguing long hair. Long hair is great. Some guys look awesome in long hair, much better than they would in shorter hair. However, once you pull it back into a ponytail, hello!
It depends on what kind of ponytail, too. If you pull it back and you're combing it back like a girl ponytail, then maybe no. But if you have that messy ponytail going on, they look
great. That's the thing. You have to pretend like you don't really care. You're not trying. You just throw it up. I mean, he's not like putting on like a Snooki poof and putting a bow in it and like doing a full
but
ponytail.
But he's got a scrunchie. He's using a scrunchie on his ponytail.
Trust me. As a guy married to a supermodel, Chiselle should know better.
I don't understand
where that came from.
You must love Carrot Top then. He has a scrunchie too on his head.
Thank you for the call. Let's just squeeze in Hannah, line seven on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hannah, Tom Brady with a ponytail. What do you think?
I personally think ponytails are ridiculous, but I mean, the guy's married to Gisele Bündchen. He has a free pass. He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, he has to work harder because he's married to a supermodel. He's got to hold up his end of the deal.
Clearly, Gisele likes it.
He's got it already.
Yeah. Yeah. Gisele likes ponytails. What up with that, Ralph?
Yeah,
what
she's wrong, too, just like you are. Yeah. Thank you very
much. First of all, she's a foreigner, okay?
So her opinion doesn't matter.
Right.
Let's give Kevin and Marina Del Rey the final word. He writes in, Tom Brady is brilliant, guys. You're missing it. Is everyone talking about his ponytail, but you're ignoring the obvious. He's starting to lose his hair. That's why he's calling attention to the back of his head, because we don't want to see what's going on in the front of his head.
It'd be so great if he went bald.
And let's see how long, like Matt Hasselbeck, will end up looking like him in about 3 years.
Oh, no.
How long is Gisele going to stick with him when he's bald? She's going to pray for the days of the ponytail.
No,
the only thing she looks at is how the hairline on his bank account is. That's the only thing she cares about.
Exactly. Tracy McMillan, she has written a piece called Why You're Not Married.
Because you have a ponytail. That's the answer.
Lisa, we're going to talk to her coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Jay Moore joins us in about 20 minutes right after the top of the hour. He is, one of the acts on Kevin Bean's third annual April Foolishness, April 2nd. Tickets go on sale today for street team members at 10 a.m. Love Jay Moore. So excited he's coming in. All right. A couple of days ago, producer Alex brought us an article called Why You're Not Married. It was posted on the Huffington Post, and it caused quite a lot of discussion off the air. And we thought this might be worth talking about on the air. So we invited the author of the piece, Tracy McMillan, to join us to the show. She also is the author of a book in stores now called I Love You and I'm Leaving You Anyway. Hi, Tracy. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
As I was reading your article, and help me out with the phones here, beer mug, please. As I was reading the article, I was thinking about how all these women every Monday night are tuning into The Bachelor, dreaming that they're the contestants on that show, thinking how much they want to be in that super romantic situation with that doofus bachelor guy and have their dream wedding and live happily ever after. I think that's one of the reasons that show is so popular, is because women all want to be those contestants. And then I read your piece and I thought, it's never going to happen for any of them. Women are doomed to never be married, according to you.
No, that's not true. But if you're looking for a fantasy in marriage, that's not going to happen. Because like I like to say, is after the initial high wears off, whoever wins The Bachelor is just going to be her, except with twice as much laundry.
Yeah, I say that to my wife as she's watching. I say, how can these relationships possibly work? Because they've spent their entire courtship in Costa Rica and South Africa riding elephants and swimming in canoes and going to carnivals for two. When they go home and they're living in an apartment and he's got to work late, how can they possibly survive?
Well, it is interesting that the one of those television marriages that worked was The Bachelorette.
That's true, yeah. She knew how to choose.
Hey, as we've said on the show before, there have been more marriages out of The Biggest Loser than out of the Bachelor series and the entire run of it. So you wrote this piece for the HuffPost, and basically you're cataloging mistakes. Am I characterizing this correctly? Mistakes that women are making. They think there's no reason why they're not married, but you're breaking it down for me and telling them, hey, here's some things you ought to be looking at that you're doing wrong. What are some of the highlights of that for our listeners?
Well, I'd say probably the thing that got me the most heat was, you're a bitch.
Testify, sister.
All right, explain where you're coming from on that.
What I mean by that is that a lot of women, they don't even know it, and they're really cool people, but they're not nice. And they're not nice to men. And the thing about men is, like, one of the things I say in the piece is that I have a 13-year-old son, and that's like living with the single-cell protozoa version of a husband, right? And what my son wants out of life is very simple. He wants macaroni and cheese, right, a video game, and because he's 13, Kim Kardashian.
Sure. I'm down with your boy. I'll tell you what, he's right on. He's got all the important things in life covered.
Well, a lot of men were like, you're exactly right. And I think the thing is that in order to, like, if you don't want to be nice, and I think a lot of women are mad that they have to be sweet, and it's really not that big of a deal. It's just, think about how you would talk to, like, somebody that you really, really love, like your 98-year-old grandma, or somebody, you know, that you think that you should be nice to. And that's a good place to start if you want to build a good relationship.
Tracy, is it possible women get bitchy because they're sort of bitter and angry about past relationships they've been through?
Definitely. I say bitchiness is about anger, and it's about being defensive. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of us have been hurt. Yeah. And so we bring that, you know, defensiveness into our next relationship.
I also think it's hard sometimes to switch gears because a lot of women are in, you know, fairly high-powered jobs, and it requires them to be very strong and forceful, and it's hard sometimes to switch gears from that into what you need to be in a relationship, which is a different skill.
A different energy. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
All right. So there are women out there who are just not nice, and maybe they don't realize it. And is the reason that you have gotten so much heat from this piece in the Huffington Post because people were disagreeing with you?
Well, yes. I think people were saying that's a sexist thing to say. When really, I just think the truth is nobody wants to be with an angry man either.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and this is author Tracy McMillan on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let me ask you this. If you're a woman of a certain age or in a certain mindset where your goal is to get married, you're out there in the dating pool because you are looking for a husband because, like most people, you'd like to settle down and start a family.
Right.
That desperation can come out in a lot of different ways, and it has to be, I would imagine, a very tricky thing for a woman to navigate in the early stages of a relationship to make it kind of casual and kind of fun, yet still serious enough that it potentially could lead to marriage. Do a lot of women get tripped up there?
Yeah, I think so. I think we totally fall into the, like, no strings attached pitfall where we're in a relationship and the guy says, you know what, I'm really not looking for something serious, and instead of going, okay, see you later, it was nice knowing you. We go, okay, I'll just do friends with benefits.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And then, of course, we don't really mean it.
Yeah.
We want more. And then after about 20 minutes, we're like, okay, where's the rest of the relationship?
Have you changed your mind yet?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's true that guys do tell you the truth. And it could be when a guy says, I don't want to get married, and you think you're going to change his mind. You finally break up with him, and he marries someone 6 months later. And you're thinking, oh, I should have hung in there. But the truth is, he's either saying he didn't want to get married, he wasn't ready at that time, or he didn't want to marry you.
Exactly. I've had a lot of men say to me that they know the moment they meet a woman whether or not they'd be willing to have a long-term relationship with her.
Yeah, so you have to believe them when they tell you that stuff
you
and
do.
Move on.
Now, the thing is men won't lie, but they will let you lie to yourself.
Yeah.
That's an interesting takeaway from this
if
conversation.
If we can keep getting sex from that situation, yes.
Yeah.
Tracy, we're almost out of time, and I have to ask you this. You were very forthcoming in the piece that you wrote in the Huffington Post where you confessed that you have been married 3 times.
I'm sure
you heard a lot of from a lot of people who disagreed with your advice and said, hey, what the hell do you know? How can you possibly give advice when you can't keep a man?
Well, I think it's not that I couldn't keep a man. My thing is that I married two really great guys, but I couldn't stay because, frankly, I did not have the maturity. You know, I was still doing a lot of the things on the list of things, which is how I know what they are. And then last but not least, I married a guy where it wasn't such a great situation, and he wasn't such a great guy, even though he meant well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't this overall, Tracy, yeah. just to women, encouraging women to take responsibility for their
That's
own situations,
what it's about,
right?
You guys, it's about I'm creating my own life, and if I don't like what I'm seeing, it's me.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
We have a lot of listeners right now, a lot of ladies listening to the Kevin and Bean Show that are just weeping right now. They're just pulled over to the side of the road, and they're just weeping. God. They realize you've changed their whole worldview. Go to Huffington Post and search for Why You're Not Married, or you can follow the Twitter feed, Why You're Not Married, author Tracy McMillan. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Have a great day.
Time for the Ralph Garman Showbiz Beat with special guest Jay Moore, who
Winning.
Arrived a little bit early for
oh,
the interview.
Stop already.
I want to know where Charlie Sheen keeps his imaginary Oscar.
I won an Oscar when I was 20, man. I wasn't even warmed up. Yeah. I was young.
It was the,
I wasn't even ready. I wasn't even trying. I got an Oscar. Hello,
it was, duh. It was the movie, Charlie, not you.
Somebody right. took his brain and switched it out with like a 9-year-old girl.
Hello, duh. Duh. Winning.
Smiley face.
As if. Emoticon.
WTF.
TMI. Hello, winning. Wow, she's a human being, man.
Jay strikes me as the kind of guy who has not missed a single Charlie Sheen Ustream broadcast.
I will say, I have missed it because I said to my wife early on, I said, he's going to run the fatal, he's running the risk of committing the fatal sin, and that is talking himself boring.
Yeah, I'm bored.
And that's exactly what he's done. But if you go through my tweets, I will say, on record, no one has funnier Charlie Sheen tweets than what I've had.
All right, let's bank that conversation for after the top of the hour.
No,
we want to give Ralph some time here for his showbiz.
I can't wait for ponytail talk.
I appreciate that. And we can cover that, too.
All right,
let's get to some showbiz news, shall we? Julie Taymor. The name may not mean anything to you, but on Broadway, it's a big deal. She's a big-time director. Well, she's out of a job. She's been sheened, as I like to say. She's leaving Spider-Man. Turn off the dark. She was the director of that debacle. And now apparently she has lost her gig because, as you know, the show was supposed to open on March the 15th. That's next week. Yeah, looks like it'll be early summer now before the show actually opens, even though they've been doing performances since, I don't know, Carter was in the White House. But, yeah, she's gone. They're bringing in a new director, the guy who put together a show called The Boy from Oz, which
that's
was
the,
Hugh Jackman
show, right?
Yeah, about Peter Allen. Mm-hmm. A big flamin' Mo from Australia. Who
gotta
was very popular.
Dance, gotta sing. When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio. Spider-Man. Ooh, I like your tights.
They're also bringing Bono and the Edge back in to rework the music. They're going to rewrite the script. This thing has got just...
Yeah, the music was the problem.
Don't you think it's time, Ralph, to put Bono down for a little while?
I think so.
You know the difference... You know this joke. The difference between Bono and God. No, God's not walking around Dublin trying to convince people he's Bono.
His halo has dimmed a bit.
It's like, just relax there, Bono.
Yeah, we get it. George Clooney has said he won't pursue a career in politics because of all the women he's banged and all the drugs he's taken. So In Touch magazine took it upon themselves to ask people in a poll, a reader's poll, would you vote for George despite his admission of womanizing and drugs? And 69% said they absolutely would vote for him if he ran for political office.
How many percent?
69.
We're five.
See, Britney Spears in Out magazine did an interview with Out, showing off her beefy thighs.
And her Arby's sandwich is always out, right?
That's right.
Not just sexy photos at all.
No. She claims, by the way, that all of her music is effing amazing.
Winning.
She plans to be around for a long, long time.
I'm a Vatican assassin, man. I'm a warlock, level 10. Let's do it.
Wow, that's a good sheen, Jay.
I've been sitting on this for years, man, since Platoon. She's an effing human being, man.
I get a chance to dust off the sheen.
Hey, Taylor, I remember when you first came in here, you told me how you admired the man. Well, I was wrong, man. Wrong. You ain't never been right. How about nothing?
Sorry. One Man Movies with Jay Moore. You should do a podcast, just you doing entire films.
I'm working
films.
On doing a podcast.
Entire films.
Yeah, we're working on it. But I wanted to do the video kind. And
more movies. What? More movies.
More cocks.
With your lovely wife.
She's funnier than I am.
There you go. You took a team up.
Do it like Rogan does it, as a Ustream. And then
let me run my life, okay, Ben?
Okay. I'd like talk about you want to do a video.
Why? Because I'm at the Irvine Improv Sunday? You got to get in my face about it?
You're at the Irvine Improv on Sunday?
That's some showbiz right there. Sunday's a big night. I get 100% of the door.
So you're recommending go to Sunday show?
Sunday's the cool one. That's when all the UFC guys show up. So you can get autographs from stars that show up.
All right.
Real Housewives of Orange County will be there.
Will Charlie be there? And Sheen's going to roll in?
I don't think so, man.
No?
I don't know. CB who? Duh.
Celebrity birthdays today. Chuck Norris is 71 years old.
He's been replaced.
Chuck Norris has?
By Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that's true, yeah, in terms of internet presence. Shannon Tweed is 54. Sharon Stone is 53. I'd do them both. I don't care if they're both 54 and 53. I'd do them both at the same time. I'd bust them up.
It's but nice. You wouldn't
that's
date
nice of you.
Sharon. She's still too crazy to date, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's mighty whitey.
Thank you so much.
I'll tell you what. I'll throw the two of you a bang-a-gay-gay.
Rick Rubin.
Oh, sorry, it was show business. I did dice.
Rick Rubin's 48 years old today. John Hamm from Mad Men.
Yes.
Don Draper. God damn it, I love him so much. He's a man. That's a man right there.
That guy's
you know what you'll never see John
shaving.
Hamm with? A ponytail.
Never.
Never.
Never. Never. Timbaland's 39.
You didn't say how old he was, honey.
Oh, John Hamm's 40 years old.
What? There's no way he's younger than me.
He's 40 years old.
Look at the game tape!
Timbaland's 39. Robin Thicke's 34. Carrie Underwood is 28 years old today. Olivia Wilde, the actress, is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations to Jose Diaz from La Habra. One ticket to System of a Down at the Forum is eligible for the grand prize of destination number 7 of the K-Rock World Tour 2011, System in Berlin. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:06. Hey, Jay Moore.
What's up, Bean?
Good to see you. Your man Kevin is just on vacation this week. He's
who
fine.
Who cares? He's holding you back. Hey, System of a Down is playing the Forum.
Yes, they are.
I saw Pearl Jam at the Forum, and in the middle of the show, Eddie Vedder goes,
"Hey, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there's absolutely no advertising in this building whatsoever."
And we're all looking at each other like, who cares? Like, why is that on your radar as a performer? You know what, Eddie? Maybe if it said Bud Light on stage, I wouldn't have paid $88 for a nosebleed seat, you jerk.
What did he do? Did he have his guys come in and like put tarps over
no,
all of the signs?
All it says at the Forum is like, literally it says snacks.
Wow.
Like, there's no advertising because there's nothing there anymore except, like, you know, churches and stuff. There's no, you know, if it was at Staples Center, first of all, it would say Staples, and it would say Pepsi everywhere when Shaq was there. But they're like, I don't like when bands talk to me on stage. Like, when I saw Pearl Jam, I was so excited, and I got my wife to go. She doesn't like Pearl Jam, and I said, you got to see them live. Then you'll understand. And like three songs in, he goes, "Hey, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Dick Cheney is the world's biggest a-hole." And I'm like, "You didn't play Jeremy yet. You're the world's biggest a-hole. What are we, girlfriends now? You want to chat, hon?" Hey, you know what? The only thing I want to hear you say is 1, 2, 3, 4. By the way, that's the world's first Eddie Vedder impression, I think.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
All right. I'm sorry Kevin couldn't be here tonight. He's indisposed, as they say, right?
Jay Moore is here because he's at the Irvine Improv this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Let's face it, everyone's going Friday and Saturday already, but Sunday, that's the night he brings the A-plus material because that's the night he makes the whole door.
You know what? At the risk of... every night is good. You know, I was kind of being a creep. So Friday's great. Saturday's great. You know, there's no bad night to go
there's
see
no
the show.
There's no bad night to see Jay Moore. I agree.
Because it's always different. I forget what material. I found material in a shoe in my closet. I found like a whole bunch of material about when I went to the beach with my son.
Uh-huh. Pretty good system you got there of cataloging
it's
your comedy.
It's a horrible I've forgotten more material in the last 6 years.
Joan Rivers at least has index cards in a box. She's 80 and she's out,
very
out keeping you.
Yeah.
Oh! Well, I guess when your joke is like one sentence, you need a very specific filing. And I'm not making fun of Joan, but you need a very specific filing system when the joke is like, he needs Viagra so he doesn't pee on his shoes. Oh! Like when the joke is an actual sentence, you need to file it more, I guess. But when the joke is like, my son, and that leads into like a 14-minute story.
Yeah, you have situational comedy. That's what you're known for. Hey, speaking of comedy, your boyfriend Psycho Mike, and I know you're very sad to come in today because the reason you come to the Kevin and Bean show is because you like to
DJ Cool Herc back here.
Yeah,
in the
right, I know.
Beer goggles,
you
man.
You like to flex your muscles. You guys like to see who's more buff when Mike.
Well,
and
he's
you
way
the
more buff than me.
And
for
you're
all
both
times.
Taking your shirts off.
I can say it
like
now because he's not here.
But my question to you is, yes, what sir. Did you think when you saw his name among those announced for Dancing with the Stars next season, starting next week?
I was completely thrilled, and I was very happy for him, and any like surprise I had was completely overridden with happiness for him and for the K-Rock Kevin and Bean franchise.
How do you think he's going to do as a man with no dancing experience whatsoever? Because you're a student of the human emotions. And what are people going to think when they see that show? They see Psycho Mike on their TV on Dancing with the Stars, and they have no idea who he is.
Here's Psycho Mike is very self-aware, being what he's been through and where he is as a person working the steps and doing his thing. He's very self-aware. He's also a fighter, so footwork isn't really a problem with him. A lot of the problem is like people's footwork. They get so screwy and they can't understand time and footwork. So he's got that going for him. I'm saying Psycho Mike lasts at least 4 weeks because he's going to work so... I mean, look at the body on the... Look at the game tape! Look at the body on the kid. He obviously is no stranger to hard work and commitment. And he knows he's probably the least famous... I hope he knows. He's the least famous person there.
He does.
I've been listening to the show, and I've heard him be very self-effacing. He knows he's the least famous person, so he knows the best bet he has to advance is to get great scores where even if the phone lines completely kibosh him, he can't be sent home because his scores are great.
Right.
Like when Corolla came out on the unicycle and like the Groucho mustache swinging the lasso and then got fives, it was like, well, I hope a lot of people call because you got fives.
Yeah, because he needs to stay on the show long enough for his personality to shine through. Because that's what happened with that Kyle Massey kid last year. Nobody knew who the hell that Disney kid was, and he was so likable that he ended up going all the way to the finals. That's what Mike needs to do.
Did he ever come out of the closet, that kid?
I wouldn't know about that, Jay. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you would have watched it on television is what I'm asking.
I didn't watch it. I didn't see it.
I don't know. When you're there for 2 months and then you wind up dressing like a 1950s car hop and you're dancing the jitterbug, it's hard to go back to the hood.
Jay Morris here, by the way. Irvine Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to improv.com. Jay has also graciously agreed to make a return appearance on Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness. It's going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater. That's going to be on Saturday,
we
April 2nd.
Get everybody pregnant at Universal Amphitheater.
We're going to see Jay Morris' belly again when he does Tracy Morgan on stage.
I don't know if I can do Tracy. I'm under contract from Warner Brothers.
We got
Charlie
another...
Sheen is my biological father.
I don't doubt that at all, Tracy. We got a great lineup around this time. Bill Burr is going to be joining us this
year. How many Jewish
year?
Comics?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
And what's the over-under when those Jewish comics tell you, the audience, that they're Jewish?
That does seem to be a staple of material of Jewish comics, yeah.
I don't know if you know this. You know, I'm a Jew. Really? No, I didn't know. Tell me the lineup. Steve-O has been touring and doing great. Good for him, man. Yeah.
And he's bringing the fire act, too, by the way. He's going to be doing some fire as part of a set. Bill Burr, who we have just fallen in love with over the last couple of years. Jim Jeffries, who ought to be one of the biggest stars in comedy. That guy is unbelievable. He's like you when he comes in. We can't get a word in edgewise, and we love him. He's
tremendous. He's afraid of bananas?
I guess I didn't know that. No.
You didn't know this?
I didn't know he's afraid of bananas.
He has he's got a phobia. Like, if there's a bunch of bananas in this room, he can't walk into this room if there's, like, a banana laying here.
Make a note of that for next time he's in.
The plane's going into a cornfield fear of bananas.
Why? How did that
I don't
start?
Know, but, like, I've heard him on the radio before, and he's hilarious. And I agree with you. He's, like, one of the funnier guys in town ever, no matter what town he's in. But if there's a bunch of bananas, like, he can't come in the building.
Wow, that's crazy. God. I didn't know that. Also on stage this year, we got a little musical comedy from Axis of Awesome. They're going to be playing the show. Ray Romano is bringing what he calls his old band comedy.
I'm doing the best I can over here.
Jimmy Kimmel is going to be there with his house
Jimmy
band.
Jimmy Kimmel, don't fall asleep now.
from his television show, Pleading with the Cleetos.
Come on down.
And the great Patton Oswalt will also be joining us on that Saturday.
That's the whole crew. That's a great lineup.
That's a tremendous lineup. Exactly.
Who said they couldn't make it that you're particularly angry about? Because I move stuff around, man.
No, I know you did.
I was going to be in Brea, and I had to cancel Saturday in Brea.
We know. We know.
Oh, I don't care. I'm like, look, this is bigger. When people stop you in airports in Dallas and say, "Saw you at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness," it's becoming like April Foolishness is becoming like Woodstock. If as many people told me they were there, it would have been at the Rose Bowl, not at the amphitheater.
Well, I mean, we keep talking about this, Jay, and you've done a million comedy shows and a million stages around the world. Nobody puts a lineup like this together. I mean, this is the best night of comedy that's going to be on any stage anywhere in the world in 2011, and that's why it's such a good deal.
I'll tell you what makes it great for the comics, too, and that is when you walk out in front of I'm guessing it looked about 6,000 to the
naked eye. That's right.
When usually they're not that cohesive. They're all over the place. They're drinking beer. They're going out in the parking lot. They're buying T-shirts. They're running around. They're waiting for a band to come on.
Right.
But for some reason, at April Foolishness, when I walked out, I was telling, like, stories. Like, I was like Jay the Storyteller all of a sudden. And they were right there.
Yeah.
Like, they took it all in. Like, no one was – it was incredible. I was really impressed with the type of audience that you attract. That's my kind of people, man.
Well, you're very kind, and it's going to be a great, great show. It will sell out. Street team members can buy tickets at 10 o'clock this morning. The proceeds this year, by the way, Jay, go to the Wounded Warrior Project, so we're helping out our returning vets. So it's get all the information at kevinandbean.com. And don't miss Jay Moore on stage at the Irvine Improv this weekend. Go to improv.com for those shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. More with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man, Jay Mohrs.
Black Keys using a lot more instruments than they used to, getting a little more modern. They used to just be like two guys doing bluesy sludge rock. Yep. I love it. Good stuff. I love the Black Keys.
That's a band that has evolved, and I have been delighted every time they get more popular. I'm happy for them.
What's
I think
the word
they
you just
it.
Said? How do you say it?
Evolved.
All right. It's evolved.
No, evolved.
They evolved.
Jay Mohrs is here. He's at the Irvine Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and, of course, playing the April Foolishness show. By the way, you when you busted into Ralph's showbiz beat, of course, you were welcome to, but it sounded like you had been giving a lot of thought to Charlie Sheen lately.
Oh, come on, man. I'm a level 10 warlock. I'm a Vatican assassin. Winning. Duh.
That's a pretty good team. But aren't you at the point where we are, where we're a little crispy fried on Mr. Sheen, and we hoped that his final Ustream broadcast was going to be some sort of live suicide?
No, like our Bud Dwyer. Oh.
Yeah, right, right.
He talked himself boring. He committed the cardinal sin, and like he's literally like smoking cigarettes through his nose. Like it's just out of his mind. And by the way, when I was a kid, goddesses were way hotter in my mind. They weren't like chicks.
He's kind of liberal with that term with his ladies.
He went deep into the San Fernando Valley to pull those goddesses out of Bob's Classy Lady in Panorama City. Like a goddess is supposed to be like radiating light with like giant boobs and she can run on the beach. Like these girls look like they get winded going up a flight of stairs.
It does seem like for a guy who's making $2 million a week, he ought to have been able to pull better ladies.
Well, he had one pretty girl in his life, Kelly Preston, and he shot her.
Yes, he did shoot her. That's true.
And Denise Richards forget about that and now. Brooke Mueller.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he shot her in the arm.
When he was dating her, he did shoot her, yeah. What's going to happen? Tell me where Charlie Sheen's going to be in 6 months, Jay.
I hope he doesn't die, and I'm not trying to be funny, because we all watched this show before with Anna Nicole Smith, and it was like, it's so funny. Yeah. Look how crazy she is. Oh, what do you mean? She's dead? The show's over? So, I don't know. It's hard to say. He's either going to... I mean, he's not... You know what's amazing is his 5% success rate stat for Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. And he keeps going, someone debate me on this right now, man. Right now. Debate me on it. Alcoholics Anonymous. Duh. I mean, this is something... it's created by a plagiarist who did acid his whole life. A loser. A troll. Duh. Losing.
Right.
So he's saying that Bill W., who created Alcoholics Anonymous, was a plagiarist who did acid every day of his life. And Alcoholics Anonymous has a 5% success rate. Okay, Charlie, you have two parents. One of your parents is sober because of AA. In your home, there's a 50% success rate. How do you get stats from an organization where the last A stands for freaking anonymous? You can't go to I don't know about you, but when I go to the rooms, it's pretty filled with people. There's never like, you never go to a meeting and go, hey, where is everybody? It's full.
He also makes statements that everybody who's in the organization and successful are losers.
Yeah, they're losers.
And he completely ignores how many famous people.
Yeah. How great is it that he says, what about when you relapse? Then you're a loser. You're weak. You're a troll. If you relapse, you're weak. Hello. Goodbye. Goodbye. So that means whenever Charlie Sheen relapses, as a society, we get to just point a finger at him and go, loser, troll, weakling.
Right.
It's a horrible, horrible thing, and he's an addict, and he needs help. And like, as Charlie Sheen listening to this would go, who is this guy, man? He doesn't know anything about me. But and he's right, and he said it about Dr. Drew. Like, this guy doesn't. Right. What is he? A doctor in BS?
Dr. Clown Shoes. He called him
hilarious lines. But at the same time, you know.
But
come
he
on,
claims
man.
That he's got. He's happy.
I cured
to be
myself
free.
With my mind, man.
Yeah, right. He's happy to be free from the constraints of the television show because now he's going to go off and make multi-million-dollar, you know, get multi-million-dollar paychecks making hit movies and stuff. You know Hollywood.
First of all,
people want to be in business with Charlie Sheen is my question to you. Is somebody going to hire him to be in a movie?
Of course. But I can't answer that question because I can't speak for Charlie Sheen in show business because I'm so far removed from it at this point. I don't know if you realize, but I was fired from CBS long before Charlie Sheen was. Here's the thing. He keeps saying he was going to do Major League 3. They did Major League 3. Scott Bakula was in Major League 3. And no one interviewing him said... I think you mean Major League 4.
Right.
Like, they just let him spin. And when he says AA has a 5% success rate, why didn't one interviewer go, now, how did you get that data?
Yeah.
And, like, now he's like, you know, from now on, I'm going to charge for my interviews, man. I'm not giving it away for free. Too late, Chuck. Nobody wants to interview you anymore because your goddesses are sixes. These are girls Matt Leinart would sleep with.
That's the ultimate insult for a woman. Jay Mohrs here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jay is also going to be at April Foolishness, as we mentioned. Tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock today for Street Team members. Jay, we want you to help us give away a pair of tickets to the show right now.
Charlie Sheen needs a good ponytail.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's what's lacking in his life.
You know
ponytail.
Who wears ponytail? No man. I was listening on the way in, and no grown up should have a ponytail. And when you have your list as Dave Grohl and Brad Pitt, that means out of billions of men on earth, you chose two people to represent guys that wear ponytails that look good. Mm-hmm. The guy that wears the ponytail is the guy that's also most likely to walk around Valencia with his cockatiel on his shoulder. Or the guy that owns a snake and walks around in like his dojo's karate jacket. Just walk, like, I'm just a guy at the park with a parrot on my shoulder. No big deal. Like, that's the same guy. Like, my bird, I don't let my bird fly, so I figured today I'd really rub his nose in it and show him the most sky possible. Usually my bird's in a cage without the gift of flight. Now I'm going to take him outside and just show him blue skies.
Somebody pointed out, by the way, we were talking about Tom Brady from the Patriots trying to wear the ponytail in Brazil. He's the same guy who also is seen wearing Ugg boots, too. So Tom Brady is not the guy we should be going to.
Because I live next to the beach, and I don't want to get sand in my shoes. So when I go to the beach, I wear Ugg boots. And it's a West Side thing, Bean. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah. I guess not. I guess
West Side?
Not. All right. We need to clear these lines. 1-800-520-1067.
Do me a favor, Bean. Yes. Tell everybody. Let's go to the Irvine Improv this weekend and come see some great comedy at the Irvine Improv.
That's absolutely happening. There's no question that's already happening. Let's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Irvine Improv, Jay Moore live on stage. The funniest goddamn live stand-up you'll ever see. Improv.com to buy those tickets.
All right. Now let's move on to pressing matters.
1-800-520-1067. Here's how we're going to do it today.
When I was 20, I wasn't even warm yet. I wasn't even trying.
Since Jay is a comedian and a student of comedy, you get the opportunity to make him laugh.
You're a slut. Wait, I'm sorry. I was reading this copy from something else. What?
If you can make Jay Moore laugh, you'll go in the drawing to win tickets for April Foolishness. Anything in particular? Any guidelines? Any rules? Any advice you have for people who are calling? Okay.
None.
Just make them laugh. It can be sound effects. It can be a joke. It can be a story. It has to just be quick. We really can only give you about 30 seconds or so on the air, okay? 1-800-520-1067. Make Jay Moore laugh. Win your tickets for April Foolishness right after this on the Kevin and Dave Grohl and his pigtails on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:40. The man who is making love to the microphone in the studio is funny man Jay Moore. April Foolishness is coming up on Saturday, April 2nd. Tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean Street Team members at 10 o'clock today. Jimmy Kimmel, Patton Oswalt, Ray Romano, Jim Jefferies, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, the Axis of Awesome, Jimmy's house band from the TV show Cleto and the Cletones, who are always great. How great were they, Jay, by the way? How awesome are those dudes?
I love those guys. I like when they all dressed up like 1980s girl comics. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they always...
And the Asian guy was Margaret Cho, and like one guy... Exactly. And I think one guy was Jerry from Facts of Life, the girl with cerebral palsy. Well, Blair.
Tickets go on sale today at 10 o'clock for Kennedy CT members. And by the way, there's also a Live Nation app if you need to buy, for whatever reason, the tickets on your iPad or iPod.
Now, is Charlie Sheen still on the roof of the Live Nation building with a machete? Like,
no, they brought him
Amin?
Down. They brought him down. Danny Trejo came down and took care of that nonsense.
No, hold on. I just heard Beer Goggles was a big UFC guy.
Well, beer mug is, yes. He loves
beer
the
mug,
UFC.
Whatever. I thought if my son was gay, he's already a blue belt, right? In karate, and he's 8 years old. Youngest blue belt they ever gave out in that dojo. So he's really good at karate. And I wrestled in college. I would teach him a ground game, and I would get him in the UFC as the first openly gay UFC fighter. He'd be 30-0, all forfeits. Yeah. That'd be amazing. No, you know what I mean? He'd weigh in with pink bikini underpants with half a boner, and he'd be like, 172.5. I love your bangs. See you in the octagon. And then he would start every fight laying on his stomach. Whenever you're ready. And Bruce Buffer would be like, and still undefeated the gay guy. Right. Just jokes like that. You can come see the Irvine Improv Friday night. Make reservations. All right. Make me laugh, damn it.
1-800-520-1067. Win tickets for April Foolishness. Make Jay Moore laugh.
Can you make Jay laugh?
Come on.
All right, here's the deal, Jay. We're going to get to as many calls as we have time for, which isn't many. We're only going to be able to give away one pair of tickets. So if you like somebody, if you want them to go into the drawing, you just let us know and we'll put them on hold, okay? And then we'll pick a winner at the end. So, Lisa, you keep track of who makes Jay laugh.
By the way,
you guys ready to play?
I never noticed how much coffee Lisa drinks.
I do, but it's decaf.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you must
I have
be
one cup of real.
You
and
must
the rest
have exquisite
decaf.
Bowel movements.
Now,
because I switched to decaf for that same reason. Because I went. All right, sorry. I got a prostate exam because I was so concerned about what was happening out of my rear end.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever had.
That story.
I don't know if you've ever had a prostate exam, but it's 95% blech and 5% ooh.
Ecstasy. Yeah.
Like 5% of your body goes. Are you sure you're done? Pete, how could you have not had a prostate exam? You're like 60.
I'm not old enough to have a prostate exam.
I'm 40 yet. And I did it for my birthday to treat myself because I have 5%.
It's not something I'm looking forward to, Jay Morton.
You should.
All right, listen, we got to give away some tickets. We got to give away some tickets. Shut up already.
I'm sorry.
1-800-520-1065. I don't think you were listening to my instructions. If
I did,
you like
I did,
them,
I did. I'm deceptively attentive. As a director once said, you're deceptively attentive.
It can be a joke. It can be an impression.
Just
it can be
go to the phone already.
Effect. Let's try Tony line
us,
one
Bean.
To get us started. Tony.
Guys named Tony are never funny.
Make Jay Moore laugh. Good luck.
All right. This one also goes out to Chuck because it's his birthday and all. So.
Chuck Norris? Okay.
Yep. Yep. So Chuck Norris once beat up a parking space, and it is now known as a handicap spot.
No, that's terrible.
All right. Not making Jay Moore laugh. Sorry. Let's try Ryan, line two. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Make Jay laugh.
What's the best thing about sleeping with 21-year-olds?
What's that?
There's 20 of them.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Wow.
Did it make you laugh?
No.
Can you make Jay laugh?
Ryan, you know, that's the best part about... I can't, you know, never mind. I'm on the adoption waiting list. I got to choose what I say very carefully.
Oh, interesting. By the way, Ryan, that did make me laugh, but I'm sorry. We got to hang up on you. Did not make Jay laugh. Joanna, good luck.
Hi,
Joanna.
Guys.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, here's my attempt.
I'm going to get you pregnant.
What did Batman say to Robin before he got in the car?
What's that?
Batman, get in the car.
Wait, why would Batman call Robin Batman?
No, what did Batman tell Robin before he got in the car?
What?
Robin, get in the car.
Yeah, but you ruined your own. You said Batman get
in
the car.
Yeah, you did. You
screwed
up your own punchline.
Oh, Joanna, I'm rooting for you.
Can you make Jay laugh?
Okay.
I may not have a drawing.
Yeah, you may not. Tom, line five, make Jay Moore laugh. Hey. See, this is why they're the paid audience, Jay, and you're the guy they're paying to see on stage at the show. Go ahead, Tom. Good luck.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Tom.
Husband and wife are having dinner. Wife's had a little too much to drink, so she leans over the table and says, tonight you can do whatever you want with me. Husband thinks about it, drops her off at her mother's house.
Put him on hold by default.
Okay. Just because compared to the competition, at least he got through it. Dustin, line six. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Can you make Jay Moore laugh?
All right, guys. So I'm single, right? And I keep having my friends, when we go out to drink, they're like, boom, hey, check it out. I got this 1984 Jennifer. Beautiful interior, a little bit smelly inside, but boom, how about this? I get her to pay for her half the date. Right there, half off the sticker price. Come on, tell me, what do I have to do to get you inside this girl tonight?
I admire your enthusiasm, and I really, you know what? Put him on hold because I like the approach.
Really?
No.
Really?
He came at it. It wasn't like a joke. He acted like it happened to him personally.
Right.
Which is what Buddy Hackett taught me. Don't say this is a joke. Say it's a story. Because when people say it's a joke, they automatically put a wall up that they're hearing a joke. The guy came at me like, this happened to me.
Okay.
And then he had the very important car salesman thing was, what do I have to do to get you in this car today?
Right.
And he changed it to tonight. Put him on hold. He doesn't have a prayer of winning. Just keep him on hold.
All right.
He had some skills, though. You were impressed with his effort. All right.
I like the approach into the, you know, he came to the runway interestingly.
Okay, so we got
Tom,
we got
Dustin. Approach to the airport.
Let's try Paul, line seven.
Come
Hi,
on,
Paul.
Paul.
Paul, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Make Jay Moore laugh.
In the dead of night. Night. So this is a joke from my act.
Okay.
I'm a 26-year-old virgin. I've never even been near a woman's lady parts. But I never. I mean, I was a cesarean birth.
All right, bye, Paul. How do you mess up your own act?
I know. Yeah. That should be polished by the time it gets to this point, right? Time for one more. Let's try
my God.
Karen.
Somebody, come on. Come on now. I want to give away free tickets to April Foolishness. I'll tell you what, Beaner.
Yes.
Whoever can make me laugh pronto, not only gets April Foolishness tickets, I'll give them tickets to Irvine tomorrow night if they want.
Whoa. Nice. It's too much. All right, Karen, you're dangerously close to being in the running
here. That was all the
money
here. We had, Karen.
What do you got?
Hi, everybody. I'm huge fans of all of you.
Okay.
I have a Charlie Sheen joke.
All right.
Okay. What is Charlie Sheen's favorite song?
What?
Cocaine.
Jay?
Is it possible that nobody wins?
No.
No, well, we got Tom and we got Tom and we got Dustin.
Take
in
one
the drawing.
More quickly.
Really? Okay. One more just to see. Mike
that
is on line eight. Mike, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. You're a bonus contestant. Make Jay Moore laugh.
I'm going to make you laugh, Jay. Here we go. A guy walks into his psychiatrist's office wearing nothing but saran wrap. Doctor looks up at him and says, I can clearly see your nuts.
That was funny.
Because you made Lisa laugh, you win.
That was actually funny.
And I like that the bonus guy won.
So he's the winner. We don't need to do a drawing. You're giving the tickets to Mike. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations, right. Mike. April 4th.
You know, there's another one. A pirate walks in with a giant steering wheel for his ship around his testicles. Yep. And he says, it's driving me effing nuts.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm knucking futs.
Not only April Foolishes, but Jay Moore has generously donated tickets to see him on stage at the Improv tomorrow night. So congratulations. Have a great time. Two big shows, by the way, if you want to go to improv.com. Right, Friday night, two big shows. Saturday night, two big shows. And then, of course, the funniest show of all, because Jay does it in English and Spanish, is at 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
Mira, mijo, ven acá, ¿qué pasó?
Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Lisa. You're listening to the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ at 8:53. Ralph is here every hour at this time with the look at the showbiz beat with his little friend Jay Moore sitting in. What's going on, Ralph?
Jay's just showing me pictures of him and Justin Bieber.
Yeah, what's
never
up with that?
When did you get, never.
When did you get your picture taken with the Biebs?
We did the Tonight Show together. He opened up for me.
Never say never.
Why would you want your picture with the Biebs?
Because he's the Biebs? What do you want? Who should I? There's my dog on the beach. We got kicked off yesterday.
Okay, we don't have time to go through all the photos.
What's going on with showbiz?
Before I get to showbiz news, let me give away some tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Lincoln Lawyer with Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
A lot cooler if you did.
That's right. ArcLight in Hollywood. Tonight is the night. If you'd like to go, I've got two pair of passes. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two listeners who get through get a pair of those passes. Movies and Everywhere on Friday the 18th, so don't despair if you don't win. Remember last week I was talking about the fact they are remaking The Bodyguard, legendary film with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. Rihanna was in talks apparently to star in the role, but she has declined, we find out today. And really, who needs a bodyguard more than Rihanna, really, when you think about
it? That's a good point.
But no, she will not be.
Do you think she's sexy? She's supposed to be the sex symbol. She's built like a Volkswagen Jetta. She's got legs like Earl Campbell. I'm supposed to think she's super hot. She's got Earl Campbell legs and a head the size of this microphone top.
She's not my cup of tea, but I know men who do like
her. She's not Chris Brown's cup of tea either.
No, she is not. No.
She doesn't listen.
Rihanna will be appearing in the big screen version of the game Battleship. She will be performing in that, but she has passed on The Bodyguard.
What does she play? The Destroyer?
She plays B6. B6 she plays.
Nope, go again.
Damn. However, Jennifer Hudson is in conversations now with producers, perhaps even Beyonce, to take over the Whitney Houston role. So there you go.
Jennifer Hudson sings like she's very angry with me in those weight loss commercials.
And she's hungry.
And she doesn't say arms, she says erms. Even in erms.
She's way hungry. Can't hold that against her. Spider-Man's in trouble on Broadway. They are having the director replaced. They are rewriting the script and changing the music and lyrics. Other than that, it's
same
in good
shit,
shape.
Right? Yeah.
Other than that, people keep dropping from the sky and breaking things. It's all good.
Why don't they just make it The Lion King? People will like it.
apparently, they pushed back the opening till summer now. It's supposed to be March the 15th. Now, sometime early summer, they'll officially be opening retool the production.
Wouldn't you open it and let the audience know you may see someone fall from the sky and hurt themselves?
I'd go.
That's what I would go
be
for.
The reason. Without
smoke,
a net.
Fire up a heater.
It's called Spider-Man without a net.
Get a little baked and stare at the ceiling.
In more Spider-Man news, they just sold the first comic book ever to feature Spider-Man. Amazing Fantasy number 15 sold at auction yesterday for $1.1 million.
Nerds.
1962, that comic book was published, so go home and slap your mom for throwing out your comic books, because there's a lot of money to be had.
Lindsay Lohan
is in court today. She has to appear in front of a judge to announce whether she will take the plea bargain deal or go to trial. By all accounts, she and her lawyers are not going to take the plea, and they're going to go to trial for this felony case of stealing a necklace.
What's your take on that? Do you have time for this?
I do. I don't think they're going to get a conviction. I think she's smart to go to trial because I think there's lots of reasonable.
Like,
doubt
oh, I thought you gave me this necklace.
I thought I was borrowing it. I walked out with it. I had no idea.
Well, that you were borrowing it, you never brought it back.
Well, she did send it back.
All right.
After the cops issued a search warrant for her apartment, she sent it back.
Her and Chuck Sheen should hook up.
That'd be a wacky couple,
a little Sid and Nancy style.
There's word that she might have to go to jail anyway, even if she shows up today, because she may have violated her probation just with the theft charge. So she may do a little time anyway. So. It's tough being her. Still looks good, though. Still hot.
I hate when they say she was arrested for allegedly stealing. No, you were arrested for stealing something. No one's ever been arrested for allegedly doing something. You were arrested for punching stealing. Your wife in the face.
Right.
He was arrested for allegedly striking. No, you allegedly struck your wife. But make no mistake, you were arrested for blasting her in the face.
That's right. But what about innocent until proven guilty, my friend?
That's fine. But you were arrested for doing it. Allegedly did it.
I see what you're saying.
You weren't arrested because you might have done it.
Right. The cops.
We
don't
think
say,
you might have robbed a bank.
Just in case.
Get in the car.
We're bringing you in.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm in a Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman, ladies
Today's
and gentlemen.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Norris is 71 years old today. Shannon Tweed celebrates her 54th birthday. You know, she's got a deal with Gene Simmons that he can have sex with whoever he wants. That's their deal.
Yeah, what about that?
That's their deal.
But he said, I thought that was baloney. Like, he took the lie detector test and everything. He's never even really slept with anybody in a long time.
Well, I got a friend. I'll give her a number.
How'd you like to meet the girl that goes, yeah, I'm going to sleep with Gene Simmons? That's a good move for me.
Friend of mine did.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's hot?
Well, because he because he was Gene Simmons.
Ugh.
Well, there are thousands of those girls,
Jay. What, Bean?
I said there are thousands of those girls who made that decision to sleep with Gene Simmons.
All right, but Ralph Garman's doing the Showbiz Beat, Bean, if you don't
sorry,
mind.
Oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
He's on Twitter, Ralph
God,
Garman.
Bean, jeez. Sharon Stone's 53. Lance Burton, the magician from Vegas, he's 51.
Yeah.
Rick Rubin, legendary music producer, is 48. John Hamm, Don Draper of Madman fame, is 40 years
There's
old
no way
today.
He's younger than me.
Why? Why can't he be 40?
Because he looks like Nixon.
He does on the show, but if you ever see him like on 30 Rock or Saturday Night Live, whatever,
you
he looks
think
younger.
John Hamm is younger than me.
I know he's younger than you. It says right here he's 40 years old.
All right.
I'm pretty sure you're not just 40.
Hey.
I could be wrong. Timbaland's 39.
Timbaland, what's
he
up?
Can he be younger than you? Is that all right with you?
Yeah, he's not doing my beats. My beats are done by Dre.
Robin Thicke is 34. Carrie Underwood's 28. Olivia Wilde from House.
Oh, what about that?
Soon to be seen in Cowboys and Aliens. She's 27 years old.
Who is is this what? Somebody I should know?
Olivia Wilde?
Olivia Wilde is?
Bro, I fall asleep at 8:30 watching Law and Order reruns.
Did you see Tron Legacy?
Four times. I stayed. When it was over, I stayed and acted like I just got there so I could see it again.
They lost money on you.
She's 13 on House, if you watch that show, and she's also the co-star of Cowboys and Aliens that's coming out this summer, the John Favreau film, but she's just unbelievably gorgeous.
I know
gorgeous.
I'm the exception and not the rule. I'm pretty square, and I got eyes for
look
a little redhead down
celebrities
at the Regal
that
Beagle.
Ralph just that all those celebrities that Ralph just talked about, none of them could do five shows on stage at the Irvine Improv this weekend
right.
and make every single patron laugh. None of them.
Winning. Jay Moore. Winning.
Come on, she's a human being, man. I say we frag that effort tonight.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Deny my
dear. There's a band that lost the Best New Artist Grammy to something called Esperanza Spalding. That's what happened there.
Don't knock my Esperanza.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 9:36. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday, although it should be a Friday. It's not. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for today. What's going on, Ralph?
I wish it was a Monday. I got at least a half a dozen shows left in me. I'm afraid I won't have enough time to get all the show out I have in me.
Is that the problem? You don't get enough airtime, Ralph? Is that what your complaint is lately?
Too much show inside me. Not enough time to get it out.
Are you taking, because of the Red State movie tour, are you taking a few weekends off from the podcast or no?
No, we took last week off because I was in New York for the premiere at Radio City Music Hall of Red State with Kevin Smith. Kevin's still traveling, but I'm going to continue to do Hollywood Babylon, our live comedy show that we do at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater. I'm going to continue doing it with some guest hosts while Kevin's in and out of town.
Okay.
So, for instance, this Saturday night at 10, I am doing Hollywood Babylon, the live performance of the podcast that we put up on the website, with John Lovitz himself, legendary...
How'd you get him?
Legendary SNL alum, comedian, actor, John Lovitz will be performing with me at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. How did we get him, you ask?
Yeah, how do you get him booked in a place like that?
I know people. I pulled some strings.
Is he still funny?
He is very funny. He is.
Oh, okay.
He's funnier in a room just talking to him than most people are with a script. He's just one of those guys who just comes up with funny stuff to say. He's very entertaining, and I'm really looking forward to doing the show with him. And then Smith's back for a weekend, and then Adam Carolla on the 26th will be my guest host for that show.
Nice.
So it's going to be
sounds like fun.
You can go to babbleonralph.com, by the way, if you want details on how to buy tickets and stuff like that. We'd love to see you this Saturday night at 10. Me and
John Lovitz. Acting, thank you.
This just in, breaking news. Justin Bieber is trapped. He fell down a well.
Someone tell Lassie.
No, apparently he is trapped in a hotel in Liverpool, England. Thousands of screaming girls are outside, trapping him inside the hotel. Police have warned Bieber that it could turn into a possible riot situation.
He was a pussy.
They have threatened to arrest him.
Why are they arresting him? He's just sitting in his hotel room.
Because he's bad.
Who gives a damn?
Sources connected to Bieber tell us, and tell TMZ.com where I got this story, that his entourage had been warned that if Bieber or his team go anywhere near the balcony, they will be arrested immediately for inciting a riot.
Oh, my God.
Listen, Liverpool, England has no experience with screaming girls for music acts. What do they know about
it's a good point.
How to control crowds?
I did laugh, by the way, when I saw the Bieber movie, when they show scene after scene after scene of this kind of mayhem that you're describing, with just thousands of just screaming, crying teenage girls. And they were making it sound like it had never happened before.
First
like,
time.
This is the first time anyone had ever reacted to a pop star like this.
Yes.
Thank you, Brewbugs. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about the Beatles, and I'm thinking about Elvis, and I'm thinking about Frank Sinatra in 1942 was closing the streets down in New York because the kids were so excited.
No, wrong. First time.
It's all Biebs. All right.
You don't know, man. You don't know. Lady Gaga. She's very popular. But not with Target. Apparently, Gaga has decided not to release an exclusive edition of her CD, Born This Way, to Target as originally planned. She has pulled out of her deal with Target because she found out that certain donations were made by Target to the campaign of an anti-gay candidate.
Oh.
In Minnesota, named Tom Emmer, in his 2010 run for the governor of Minnesota.
Now, why doesn't Gaga allow for the possibility that the anti-gay candidate was just born that way?
Oh, God, yes. So she's scrapped her deal with Target. I don't think a lot of Gaga fans are shopping at Target anyway, I think. Maybe just more brown chicken, brown cow, you know? More Keith Urban and those type of artists probably for the Target crowd. I'm just guessing. What do I know? We were talking earlier today, by the way, got a quick email here to read, about Tom Brady. And his ponytail, and his and his scrunchie, and his dancing the lambada at carnival. Thought this was an interesting point of view from Devin. He's got a little story, Ralph. The other day, I went to lunch with a few friends from work. We walked into a restaurant. We all exchanged smirks as we saw the employee behind the counter. He had long, wavy hair that was kind of all over the place. And then we were even more shocked when he turned to the side, and we all noticed he had a long, hideous ponytail. He sat us at our table and wished us a good meal as he went to fetch our waiter. As he walked away, we all began to laugh at his eyesore of a hairdo. That's when I turned to my friend and told him that dude looks like Tom Brady.
Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun.
I am having a lot of fun. That was very fun. Thank you, Devin Johnson, for writing that. I appreciate it.
Is that one of your pen names, Ralph?
No.
Try to keep this lame bit alive?
He is Devin, and he is real.
Sure he is.
HBO Films has announced they're making a movie for their cable network based on the 2008 election, specifically Sarah Palin and John McCain.
Oh, all right. Interesting.
I thought so. Remember that book, Game Change?
Mm-hmm.
Which was about that election. Mark Halperin and John Heilman wrote the book, and they are basing the film on that. So they're looking to cast everyone involved in that election. No word yet on who will play Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or John McCain. However, Julianne Moore has been tapped to play Sarah Palin.
Well, she's a tremendous actress.
She is.
And I suspect she could pull that off just fine.
She's very hot, too.
Yeah, she sure is. And so is Sarah Palin.
Stop.
For a politician.
I know, but not just in general.
I'm saying, sir, I think Julianne Moore can look like Sarah Palin. I think that's it. And I think she's a good enough actress that she can act like Sarah Palin. I think that's good casting.
Yeah,
I want to see you with the old man makeup on being John McCain. That's the role I want to see you
my
in.
Fringe, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. No, he's not. He's not an Arab. No.
You know, we look at it differently because the plan didn't work. There's nothing John McCain could have done to win that election. But it was an unbelievably bold choice to name Sarah Palin, a person nobody had ever heard of, as his running mate. And do you remember how white hot the campaign was for him for a while after he put Sarah Palin on? I mean, people just fell in love with her.
Yeah.
It was a really fascinating story and an interesting attempt, you know, for him to inject some life into the campaign when he was getting trounced by Barack Obama.
Yeah, I guess it was a bold move. It was sort of a Hail Mary.
Yeah, yeah. And it might have worked. You know, it probably would have worked against the candidate who didn't have so many other things going for him as the president did.
Well, we had hope and change going
for
him.
Well, we did have the hopey changey thing. And how's that working out for you?
Well, I hope there's change sometime soon.
Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited?
Good question.
Speaking of politics, remember the White House crashers? Michaela and Tariq Salahi.
Yes, I hate them so much.
Remember our surprise when I announced that Michaela Salahi was going to be on Celebrity Rehab?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out she's not going to be on Celebrity Rehab. She's been fired from Celebrity Rehab.
Why?
Well, it turns out, Lisa, she is lacking when it comes to the whole addiction thing.
She just crashed that, too?
She just wanted to be on television.
Oh, no.
Well, that is a problem. She's got a big problem.
She's addicted to
celebrity
attention, yeah. Is what she's addicted to, but apparently Dr. Drew doesn't do that type of rehab. She got into the program, and they realized that she wasn't addicted to anything. She's never had any issues with drugs, alcohol, or even an eating disorder, says one source close to the Salahis.
That's fantastic.
So she's been sent packing. Here's the statement from the Celebrity Rehab producers. We were advised that Michaela Salahi did not meet the criteria to be treated in this setting. So she's on her way out. Now, in the wake of her rejection, her husband has threatened legal action, claiming his wife was dumped unfairly because she has multiple sclerosis.
Well, you don't go to celebrity rehab if you have multiple sclerosis. That's not the appropriate treatment.
The show is violating the Americans with Disabilities Act, they claim.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Isn't she also on The Real Housewives of D.C.? Doesn't she already have that show?
She was on that show. I don't know if it's still running or not. But
incredible.
Salahi will be replaced by actress Sean Young, who's got a real alcohol and drug addiction problem. Thank God. She'll be on there along with Jeremy Jackson.
Woo!
By Ling.
Hi,
Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses fame, and Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita. No Michaela Salahi, I'm sorry to say. Speaking of Dr. Drew, remember his boyfriend, Psycho Mike Catherwood?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Or as Tom Bergeron calls him,
Loveline's lover boy.
Now, they're still hosting Loveline together. They still, you know, make passionate love to one another for 2 hours a night across this great land of ours, right?
I'm sorry, my radio doesn't get that program. I'm not sure.
Right.
I haven't checked in for a while. But the odds, the morning line is out for betting on Bodog.com if you want to check out how much you can win by wagering on one of the contestants on Dancing with the Stars. If I were you, I would put my money on the long shot, who just happens to be Psycho Mike Catherwood. He's going off at 16-1. Not good odds, but look, that's how you make the big money.
That's right.
You find yourself a dark horse, you slap the car payment or the mortgage on that sucker, and then you just ride them wire to wire. That's all I'm telling you.
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
Yes, $80, you can make a lot of cash. So I'm just giving you a heads up.
Yep.
He's a dark horse. He's the unknown quantity, but I'm telling you, if he goes all the way, you're a lot richer than you were before you
First
started.
Of all, why the horse got to be dark? But second of all, Lisa, didn't you follow Ralph's advice earlier today? Open an account on Bodog and actually put some cash down?
I did it. I have bet on Mike.
You're
I'm very excited.
Going to lose.
We'll see. I have faith.
I have a lot of confidence in Mike for this game. I really do.
All right. Yeah. Then why don't you put some money down there?
I'm going to, but I've been busy. I've been doing a show. I don't have
Daddy
45
Warbucks?
Minutes, an hour off like Lisa May does.
Yeah, you don't have any money to bet either because you're a cheap bastard. That's why.
No,
you won't even bet on your own friends.
As far as I'm concerned, this is guaranteed money in the bank. I'm absolutely wagering on this.
It's guaranteed money in the bank.
I may put $51 down. That's how confident I am.
My goodness, you are crazy. I don't know if you saw Access Hollywood, or was it? It was Extra last night, I believe. Extra was
That's
the
right.
show.
that featured a little interview with our little boy, Mike Catherwood. And I think he acquitted himself very, very well. Here's a little taste from last night's episode.
They call him Psycho Mike. He's even giving you a shout-out.
I don't have very much celebrity status. In fact, I have zero.
Oh, come on, Mike. They don't let someone with zero celeb status fill in for Regis.
No. It looks like we worked it out pretty well.
We worked it out fine. Right. You were exactly right.
I also wondered if they thought that I was really Mario Lopez, and I just let myself go. Or Mark Consuelos.
He's known as Psycho Mike to his loyal K-Rock listeners.
Oh my God, I love you so much!
But now, this 31-year-old DJ, whose real name is Mike Catherwood, is headed to the dance floor.
My biggest fear about doing Dancing with the Stars is that the check won't cash. Dancing with the Stars really is a giant goulash of embarrassment. And that's like a representation of my life.
Yeah, it is.
Next stop, Suckville.
That's right. Luckily, his show is still a gift, though. His radio show is still a gift, right?
That's society? What I understand. Oh, that's okay. What he says, yeah.
Good. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Norris is 71. Shannon Tweed celebrates her 24th birthday. Sharon Stone is 53. Rick Rubin, legendary music producer, is 48. John Hamm celebrates his 40th birthday today. Maybe the only guy we'll give a bell to is John Hamm.
Yeah, he definitely earned it.
Nice. Yeah. Timbaland is 39. Jerry Horton, guitarist for Papa Roach, is 36. Singer Robin Thicke is 34. Carrie Underwood celebrates her 28th birthday. And actress Olivia Wilde is also celebrating a birthday today. She's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph usually holds himself together pretty well around celebrities. But I got to tell you, when he was drinking a little bit and John Hamm showed up, was it April Fool's?
April Fool's
maybe?
Is the first one. Very first,
first
one.
Year, yeah. John Hamm was there. Ralph backstage was like, I'm such a big fan of you on Mad Men.
I was gushing.
You gushed.
And not just verbally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, out of both ends, exactly. Speaking of April Foolishness, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, not both ends. That gives people the wrong impression. I didn't have like bad clams or something before I met him. It was both ends. They were both. From the front.
They're both ends. Top and bottom, but from the front. Right?
Yes.
Speaking of April Foolishness, why wouldn't you buy tickets if you're a Kevin Abid Street Team member and they go on sale in 10 minutes?
I can't think
of any reason why you would not want to get this show, because clearly it's going to sell out like it always does. Proceeds going to the Wounded Warrior Project. Jimmy Kimmel is going to be there along with the house band from the Jimmy Kimmel Live TV show, Cleto and the Cletoons, who are amazing. Axis of Awesome performing on stage. Doug Benson is on the bill this year.
Oh, Doug.
Our friend Steve-O is going to be performing.
Dude.
Bill Burr. Jim Jeffries, Ray Romano, Jay Moore, Patton Oswalt. It's an unbelievable lineup. The best night of comedy you'll find anywhere across these United States in 2011, and you can buy those tickets in about 9 minutes. All right, don't go away tomorrow. Well, you can go away if you want, but you got to come on back tomorrow. We have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got more Foolishness tickets to give away. Also, it's Friday. That means Ralph will be here with the Movie Beat. Sean Connery, I think we've got booked to talk to on tomorrow's show. He has some comments about something in the news.
Wow.
And funny man Joe Rogan, too. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean show.